I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Oh, Lord, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. The hearings for Alito should be over, I think, by today. We're hearing the voices of the chairman, our inspector of the committee, saying that he's going to want to ask for a vote as early as next Tuesday. Democrats are saying that they are, it appears that the Democrats are going to wait till the Democratic caucus meets on Wednesday and push for a vote after that. This stuff is, it is so, so real. And I guess it's like if you haven't been keeping yourself in shape, you know, you're a little bit overweight, you haven't been exercising, you haven't been eating right, spending, you know, a lot of couch time. And if it's not a lot of couch time, it's a lot of behind the desk time. And you have a physical crisis. You have to run a distance in an emergency. You have to lift something in an emergency. You have to do some stuff. And you make that call upon your body to do what you need to be done. And you think in the back of your head, my God, I should have been prepared. I should have been working harder. I should have been keeping myself in shape. I'm not going to be able to do what my body is demanding that I do. So what do I do? What I do is, I think about the fact that I should have been keeping myself in shape. And you don't do a very good job of coming to the emergency that your body is, the physical emergency that your body needs you to be able to engage in, or the situation requires that you engage in. And I wonder if the Democratic Party finds itself in that same situation. A little overweight, a lot overweight. Hasn't been keeping in shape, hasn't been going to its taekwondo classes. And then all of a sudden you're in a fight and you realize, well, dang, I think I should have gone to class. So I wonder at the end of these Alito hearings if the Democratic Party finds itself in that situation. Are they too out of shape to respond to the emergency situational need that is being required of them? Because they're not punch drunk, because you have to be in a battle to be punch drunk. You know, and I could even live with the fact that they punch drunk, but they're not. They're overweight. They're out of shape. Unprepared to respond to the physical emergency that is being painted in front of them. They're going to meet. They're going to meet. And we're going to see what they do. We're going to see what they do. Huh. Huh. Lindsey Graham apologized to Judge Alito. I'm so sorry you had to go through this. I'm so sorry you had to go through this. Huh. Huh. I would love to be able to ask Senator Lindsey Graham why he could apologize to the wife or to Alito for going through what should be a tough, given his record. There are a lot of serious questions that need to be asked. I would like to ask why Lindsey Graham would apologize for that, but not for enslavement. But not for enslavement. Huh. The things that matter. And here's what I'd like to do to help make it a real for you. There's a case in front of the Supreme Court. And it involves a private citizen and police authorities of Michigan. And lawyers appeared in the United States Supreme Court to challenge the police practice of storming into homes to look for whatever they want as evidence of a crime. This is a case brought to the court by a man by the name of Booker Hudson. Booker Hudson lives in Detroit. He says he was arrested by several police after they broke into his home without any warning. He was found guilty of possession of a small quantity of cocaine found in the pocket of his trousers, which led him to have to serve 18 months of probation. Hudson challenged the verdict, took his case all the way to the Michigan State Supreme Court, arguing that the evidence used against him by the police was found in violation of his constitutional rights. The court rejected his plea in January. His attorneys had argued that the police have no right to enter his home without knocking on the door and announcing their presence, which is, have y'all heard of this thing called, I know it's technical. And you probably haven't been taught about it much or at all in school. It's called the Fourth Amendment. And it requires that the police announce and knock. It is undisputed that the police violated the Fourth Amendment by barging into his home. The Fourth Amendment states specifically, quote, the right of the people to be secure in their homes, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. It also notes that warrants shall only be issued once the authorities have established probable cause, and they must describe the police, the people, the places, and the things to be searched and seized. In 1995, there's a knock and announce rule that Hudson's case rests upon, and is to protect the dignity of residents by allowing them a reasonable time to make themselves presentable before the police enter. It also protects your private property. You know, that thing, that those things that you want to have your gun to be able to protect. The ones that you're tripping on, the loss of the Second Amendment. You want the Second Amendment. You want the gun so that you can protect your house as well. You need the other rules to protect your house, too. And that rule protects private property by allowing residents to open their doors rather than having them destroyed by a police battering ram. They're supposed to knock and announce, and they didn't. So let me just ask you this question. If Alito was on the United States Supreme Court when this case came before him, Alito, the man that said that you can strip search a 10-year-old baby girl. A 10-year-old baby girl. Alito that says that you can have personal animosities and you can not hire somebody because of that. Oh, sure. How you think that he would decide this? How many battering rams do you think that the police departments would start stocking up on? In preparation for their cops, bad cops, what you gonna do television show. Oh, man, they're just going to be drooling. The wicked ones will be drooling about the opportunity to get on television, battering down people's and then getting people half naked on TV. These are important times. These are important times. These are scary times. And you should not let that fear hold you back, because we have a lot to lose. These are dangerous, dangerous, scary times. And folks need to get up off their rusty dusties. Every American right now should be emailing, calling, writing every Democrat that you can think of, every Democratic senator in the United States, and tell them to filibuster. Use the F word. And you know, I'm not talking about that F word. I'm talking about the filibuster word. This should be a filibuster. And you've got to get them to do what they need to do. Don't be scared. It's not time to be scared. Email your Democratic senators. And I don't care what state they're from. They need to know that we need the filibuster. What good are you if you don't? Need to get up off your, the technical legal term is rusty dusty. And make some phone calls. And make some emails. Send some emails. There's business at hand. There's stuff to do. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Ralph.
How are you?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Always a pleasure to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Did you get a chance to read the Metro section of the Post yesterday?
I did not.
You didn't?
Did not.
There's an article, and it really caught my eye. There was four white males in North County that had been on a crime rampage, burning houses. They were charged with 43 felony counts. And describing these white males, they were described as bored teenagers. Now, mind you, they've broken several houses, done extensive vandalism. They even went as far as turning the gas on, leaving the gas on some of these homes and setting them on fire, which to me would be attempt murder.
Bored teenagers. Huh?
Bored teenagers.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, I just have a problem thinking if been my son and a couple of his buddies, if that's the description they would have used to describe this gang.
Did they have any pictures of them?
Oh, yeah, they was white boys.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No doubt about it.
Oh, so, no, I'm just asking because normally the pictures don't appear in the papers. So
oh, yeah.
There were pictures of them.
Yeah.
But they gave them the free ride of bored teenagers.
Is exactly. That,
what was the headline? Was the headline bored teenagers?
I'm not sure.
Okay, that was
I thought I should have held the article, but I didn't. But it's just something to stay on my mind overnight.
It's not about the crime. It's about those who stand accused of the crime.
Exactly. And I was just, and the article itself is just that one particular, you know, and that was the opening line, bored teenagers.
Jesus.
But
what do they do when they what do they do when they mad?
I don't know.
What do they do when they're on a crime spree? If that's what where is this?
It happened in Bell Fountain.
Okay, so if this is what Bell Fountain is, a lot of black folks in Bell Fountain.
A lot of black folks in Bell Fountain.
So was there race involved with this?
Well, they was actually was vacant homes. They said initially what happened, one of their friends was put out of a landlord's home and they vandalized it, and I guess it got good to them and they continue to do it. But it's just a heck of a thing for them to describe these criminals, which is what they are.
Vicious criminals.
Yeah.
It's not about the crime. It's about those who stand accused.
And that stands so true. Have a good day, ma'am.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Car phone.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You said something very important. Well, you say something very important every day, but a couple of weeks back that stuck with me. We were talking about Hillary Clinton running for president.
Mm-hmm.
And you have made a very good statement, and I hope you continue to make it so the masses can hear that we should not even waste our time focusing in on her being president. She will never be president. And what scares me is that a lot of people think she will, and then it will muddy and lessen the numbers for us to get someone in there that is worthwhile if we could ever find that.
America is never going to vote for a white woman to be president of the United States.
I agree. And I think a lot of people that are not really educated enough to understand that that will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big, big Hillary fan anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's done some okay things, but she seems to distance herself from the real true issues.
She
skirts herself. I mean, you never get a direct, I don't feel like she stands for anything.
I think that she tries to be like the most aggressive white male that's out there. She pro-death penalty, pro-Iraq war. We got to go get him. And who needs a white woman that's trying to be a white man conservative?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't need a white Democratic male trying to be conservative Republican-like. Who needs a white woman to do that?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's what good is she for us?
Right. And I would like to get your, because I do listen to a lot that you say and I think about it. Who do you think we should keep our eye on? And just I'll hang up and listen to your comment.
For the presidency?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a break and I'll come back with that.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend.
You too.
454-0400 is my phone number. I'm Liz Brown. We're taking a break. In the next hour, we have, of course, Looking Black with Margaret Kimberly, freedom writer for blackcommentator.com.
Payback!
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Kerry Nursing Shea Butter Lotion. In both directions, Shetler at Shetler Manor. Look for that to be closed due to an accident. Northbound 55 at Richardson and Germania. No problems to report there. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Guyer. Everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 170. Look for no problems there. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for a heavy volume there. Northbound 270 at 44 and Marshall. Slow traffic going on there as well. Westbound 5570 between Route 3 and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for that traffic to start to stack up this hour. Westbound 64 between 111 over on the east side all the way into the PSB. Look for that to be slow go this morning. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit to Laclede's Landing is looking good. Northbound Route 3 between Monsanto onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect normal traffic this morning. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Kerry Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion. Kerry Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion is trusted therapy that deeply conditions and nourishes elbows, knees, and everywhere else skin thirsts for moisture, leaving your skin feeling healthy and smooth. Try Kerry today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Things have changed. Colder, windy today. Rain likely this morning. Rain and snow likely this afternoon. There is a possibility of a snow accumulation of less than an inch. The highs will be in the mid-40s. However, the temperatures will be falling into the 30s by the afternoon. For this evening, blustery, colder, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 20s. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 36 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 37, both under cloudy conditions with light drizzle. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler, not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
There is a drum that beats steady and strong. It does not know defeat. I feel it fire and know the sound of truth. In every soul, there is a memory, a standing tall, the proudest we could be. I cannot fall, for I recall, we were born in majesty.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. I've been thinking over the break, who should run for the presidency? I'm still thinking. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Scott, good morning.
Yeah, today is Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, that is correct.
Yes, and there's a lot of bad karma out there.
Yeah, there is.
Put out by people like Matt Blunt, who pulls feeding tubes out of people because they don't have enough money, and people like George W. Bush, and Israel's getting ready to attack Iran, and Osama is sorting out his suitcase nukes, making sure they're ready. So put on your seatbelts, and it's going to be a rapture, but it's going to be a rapture of feeling, you know, feeling to see that justice is about to prevail.
Lock and load. It's going to be, these are scary times.
Son of Man is locking and loading right now as we speak.
All right, Scott. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Chuck.
Yes, good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Good. I have a question to fire at you.
Sure.
Okay. Now, with all these hearings on the Supreme Court this week, and I've been watching them, I'm wondering, with this situation with Jack Abramoff?
Abramoff, yes.
Yeah, cooperating with the Justice Department.
Mm-hmm. As much as a liar and a thief can cooperate.
Right, right. That's my thought. With Rodriguez being the Attorney General, just how far do you think that thing will go?
Well, it depends on which part of the Justice Department is in... Oops, I got to let you go. Like, we can't hear that on the air.
Okay.
454-0400 is my phone number. It depends upon which prosecutor is investigating it. Just like the prosecutor that's investigating Tom DeLay, the Scooter Libby, all of that. It depends upon the particular prosecutor that is involved with it. I don't know. I don't know how far we'll get. How far we'll see the rabbit hole goes. I don't know. Jeff.
Morning, Dr. Brown. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Good. I'd like to tell you, Liberty River Trader.
I'm sorry? I didn't understand what he said. But he sure ran real fast. It must have been bad. He ran really fast. You know, like that kid... Like that kid in grade school, you know, that can't take you on, but just like hit and run. What was that? 454-0400 is a phone number. Forget to me. Whoo, you're on the wake up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
That was a silly rabbit. Anyway, I wanted to follow up on the previous caller about the four arsonists.
Yes.
The article states, the opening line says, the old-fashioned led to a band of bored teenagers.
Old-fashioned what?
Police work led to a band of bored teenagers who set fire to vacant houses in North St. Louis County.
How old are these men?
They're 17, 18.
Oh, they're teenagers at 18. Okay.
19.
They're teenagers. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then one of the detectives says, oh, they're bored and had all kinds of time on their hands.
You know what? I got to let you go because I'm going to start cussing.
I can find something for them to do.
Ain't that some stuff?
Have a good weekend.
After that? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. They were bored. 19-year-olds setting fire to homes, turning on the gas so that the gas can blow up homes. And here's the thing. Here's what it was. Here is the challenge. I've described this before. I've explained this before. Yes, it is. It's not about the crime. It's about those who stand accused of the crime. But it's also this. The police, I guarantee you, were white. Why is that significant? Because those police saw themselves in those boys. I would make the argument that every 15-year-old is a teenager. Every 16-year-old, every 17-year-old, every 18-year-old, every 19-year-old is indeed a teenager. But the question becomes, why is it that some people get the definition of a teenager and others get the definition of men when it comes to crime? If the police see themselves in those who they police, they behave in a certain way, as they should. I think that cops should give deference to people. I think that they should not be battering rams in anybody's community, looking at everybody as the face of crime. They don't. Unfortunately, and it's a lot bigger word than unfortunately, the fact of the matter is that in the United States of America, the same cops that saw bored teenagers, that articulated bored teenagers, in the crimes of arson, destruction of public property, a riot. I mean, what's the difference between this and a riot? This is a riot. We've had entire communities smeared for what these people did. And assured, these are rioters. They were rioters. It's the same reason, this is an important example. It's the same reason that the Columbine thugs, murderers, gangbangers, who destroyed the lives of many people, ended the lives of many more, why they were described in the New York Times, who sees themselves in those boys. They weren't described as thugs. They weren't described as terrorists. They weren't described as gangbangers. You know what they were described as? Words I ain't never heard put together in this order before. Disaffected clique members. You ever heard those words before? Disaffected clique members is what they describe, is how they described the Columbine thug gang murderers, disaffected clique members. Why? Because the authors of the article saw their children in the Columbine gangbangers. That's why. Tell me one thing that those boys didn't do that a gang in L.A. has been described as doing. They all had prior criminal records. They all had guns in their homes. They all had a plan to kill people. And kill people they did. What's the difference? Oh, I see. One's black, one's white. My name is Liz Brown. We're taking a break. Get to me.
Taking off my shoes. Jumping in the water. Wash away these blues. Now it is an ocean. Current takes hold. Words already been spoken. Tales already been told. Hearts already been broken. Wounds already been healed. Do you wanna be loved? Do you wanna be loved for real? Do you wanna be loved?
Wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Vienna. A Swiss newspaper has run a story that says the U.S. is operating secret interrogation camps in Eastern Europe. The Sonntag Blick says it got a fax that was sent by the Egyptian government to its London embassy, and that fax indicates Egypt knows about 23 Iraqis and Afghanis being held at a camp in Romania. A spokesman for the newspaper says the Swiss government is now launching an investigation into how the newspaper got the story. And Dateline New York. The New York State Comptroller's Office says the average bonus being paid to top executives for investment banks and trading firms for calendar year 2005 is $125,000, but some are getting $1 million or more. The head of Goldman Sachs, Henry Paulson Jr., is getting a package that's worth $38 million. The head of Morgan Stanley Investments, John Mack, will be getting $11.5 million, even though he only worked for the company for 6 months. Even some 21-year-old market analysts are getting bonuses of as much as $75,000 as they come right out of college. Now, much of these bonuses are based on the huge numbers of mergers and acquisitions that took place last year, many of which led to the loss of tens of thousands of jobs. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Why listen to Brand X Radio when you can listen to something brand new? Join the conversation by calling 314-454-0400 or toll-free from outside the local calling area at 1-877-920-WGNU. For those of you who may be alphabetically challenged, that's 1-877-920-9468. Stop rushing around the radio dial. Leave it here and call in and talk on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Has Steve Franklin been on your mind? Join him online at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, living my life. You know how. You know how. Christine, good morning.
Good morning. Earlier this morning, you were talking about this woman. I know she had to be a Republican. She was apologizing to Samuel Alito for some reason.
Senator Lindsey Graham.
Okay, did she give a reason why she was apologizing?
That's a him. Lindsey Graham is a he.
Oh, is a he?
Yes, Lindsey Graham is a he. Yes, he apologized saying that, I'm sorry that you have had to go through this. I'm sorry you had to sit here and listen to this.
Well, this was that fuzzy talk, this. Because it was just like that woman who called you, one of your ardent listeners who calls up, yesterday, she sounded like a senior citizen. Sounded like she might have been old enough to be your grandmother to know better. To say that they were slandering him, and when did the truth become slander? I don't understand it, because they were not making up these questions. These were facts, and when did facts and truth become slander? It's like what's up is down.
Truthiness.
It's, someone who's going to be on the Supreme Court and he's up for a job interview should be asked the toughest questions that they can find that is factual. And all of the questions that he was being asked, they're on record. And I'd like to know who can call that slander.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
Liz, after listening to Vanessa Williams tell about what happened in New Orleans, I wanted to ask you a question about a guest that you had on last year. Her name was Margaret Flemings, and she had called Bush and Cheney guileless, spineless, coward dogs, and you said you disagreed with her. I would just like to know what part of her statement that you disagreed with.
I don't ever remember saying that if I said that I disagreed with her, mm-hmm. I might have, the only thing that comes to my mind that I would have said that I disagreed with her about that would be that it wasn't enough words. I can't imagine that I said that I disagreed with that. I might have said, I don't know what their relationship with God is. I don't know. I don't ever remember taking exception to, a negative description of them because they've done so much negative. So I don't remember that. And I can't imagine that I did without explanation. And the explanation had to have been something that enhanced what they were saying or said. I don't know what the relationship with God is.
I understand because everything she said was so befitting with the things that is happening. That it just kept coming to me.
I don't ever remember right. saying that. So, I don't remember saying that, and I can't imagine that I did.
Okay.
All right now.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Interesting. Israel has suspended contact with evangelists, godless Pat Robertson. For suggesting that Ariel Sharon's stroke was divine punishment for withdrawing from the Gaza Strip. Israeli leaders see the decision was announced Wednesday by Israeli leaders. And it does not affect other Christian groups that also consider it their spiritual duty to support Israel. But they've said, no, that we won't be having anything to do with Pat Robertson anymore. Pat Robertson was leading a group of evangelicals who have pledged to raise $50 million to build the Christian Heritage Center in Israel's north region, where tradition says Jesus lived and taught. Under a tentative agreement, Robertson's group was to put up the funding while Israel would provide the land. Yeah, I guess that's they're snatching it from the Palestinians. Israel would provide the land and infrastructure. They predicted that it would draw up to 1 million pilgrims a year, generate $1.5 billion in spending, and support 40,000 jobs. Good googly moogly. What kind of structure are they building that would support 40,000 jobs? Good googly moogly. Who? But the fate of the project is now in question, said the spokesman for the tourism ministry. We will not do business with him, only with other evangelicals who don't back these comments. We will do business with other evangelical leaders, friends of Israel, but not with him. What kind of thing are they building? 40,000 jobs? Good googly muggly. Woo! Barbara, good morning.
Good morning. They're building a Christian theme park kind of thing.
Oh, it's like a Disneyland?
Yeah,
type
like
of
a Christian Disneyland.
Oh.
So I guess they won't be having one because all of them stick together like glue. Anyway, I was calling to let you know about some rambunctious teens in Michigan that are beating up homeless people with bats. Rambunctious teens. They killed one man that was sleeping by a trash can in the...
You're using the word rambunctious. Is that the word that was used in the paper to describe them?
This was on CNN.
Are those the words that they used to describe them?
I think that's what they did say. But they killed one man. Yeah. They were on a rambunctious raid. They didn't call the teens. They said they were out just beating up homeless people.
Are you sure they used the word rambunctious?
Maybe not.
All right now.
But
right.
I'm not sure. It's on C-SPAN.
All right.
And so anyway, that's all I wanted to say. But that's what they did. And one man's dead and one man's seriously injured. And you're absolutely right about the children the way they describe people.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Have a great weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, my name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have the Looking Black in the next hour. And our guest will be Margaret Kimberly. She is a writer for the Freedom Writer for BlackCommentator.com. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Steve Taylor. With the conclusion yesterday of Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito's testimony, Senate Democrats are suggesting they won't mount a filibuster against him. ABC's Ann Compton reports the president seems to taste victory.
President Bush was so proud he telephoned Judge Alito from Air Force One, complimenting Alito's testimony, telling him he showed great class. The original timetable could bring Alito's nomination to a final vote in the Senate 1 week from today. President Bush wants Alito seated on the court before too many major cases are heard. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Mr. Bush was on Air Force One returning from New Orleans, where he told Gold Coast residents his administration's learning lessons from its slow response to Hurricane Katrina and promised to help smooth out rough spots in the rebuilding effort. He warned, however, that hurricane recovery is driving up the federal deficit. Walmart has pledged to donate $8.5 million to help rebuild Gulf Coast communities. New Orleans will get $300,000 from Walmart. Mayor Ray Nagin.
We've had lots of people say they want to do things, but Walmart has definitely come through and actually done something.
In Iraq, a U.S. Army reconnaissance helicopter went down near Mosul today while aiding Iraqi police who'd come under fire. Officials say the choppers, two pilots, were seriously injured, alive but unconscious when they were evacuated. Before that incident, Iraq had been fairly quiet. ABC's Heather Nauert in Baghdad ties it to the Muslim Eid holiday.
Attacks this week have drastically plummeted as Muslims celebrate their four-day feast of sacrifice. Many Iraqis stayed home this week. Government offices and most businesses were closed. Some people took advantage of the lull in violence and ventured out to socialize, visiting friends and neighbors.
Connecticut's highest court reportedly has upheld the murder conviction of Kennedy cousin Michael Skakel. The mother of victim Martha Moxley says prosecutors told her that. This is ABC News.
You buy ginger ale at Walmart's everyday low prices. It arrived on a Walmart truck and traveled over 140 miles from a Walmart distribution center, where it was processed by over 1,000 Walmart associates and moved over 10 miles of conveyor, with over 230,000 cases that same day. Why send ginger ale through one of the most efficient distribution systems ever conceived? To keep prices low for you. And we're all proud to be a part of it. Walmart. Always low prices. Always.
Walmart and Sam's Club have teamed up with Humana to provide you with all the information you need about the new Medicare prescription drug benefit. Enroll today. Log on to walmart.com/Medicare or talk with your Walmart pharmacist or Humana sales representative. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare prescription drug benefit plans. Medicare approved HMO, PPO, and PFFS plans available to anyone enrolled in Part B and entitled to Part A of Medicare through age or disability. Copayment, service area, and benefit limitations may apply.
Britain's foreign secretary says Iran could face U.N. sanctions for resuming its nuclear program. Iran insists negotiations are not at a dead end, as Britain, France, and Germany claim. ABC's Linda Alban has more from London.
Iran, calling the West bluff, is threatening to halt snap inspections of its nuclear sites by U.N. inspectors. Iran's foreign minister said all voluntary cooperation would end if Iran were to be referred to the U.N. Security Council. The move comes after the U.K., France, and Germany said the time had come to refer Tehran to the council for removal removing seals from three nuclear facilities. Even Moscow has renewed its call for Tehran to resume its moratorium on nuclear activities. But a leading hardline Iranian cleric says his country will resist the psychological war being waged against it. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
In San Francisco, police say the device found in a Starbucks this week wasn't a bomb, but a flashlight filled with old batteries that couldn't have exploded. Steve Taylor, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ryansmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, charges may come as soon as today against a suspect in a murder in Granite City. The major case squad was called in Wednesday night to investigate the death of 60-year-old Carol Newby. Now police say a man in custody on unrelated charges has been linked to Newby's murder. Relatives of Bell Fountain Rehabilitation Center residents are taking the State Department of Social Services to court in an effort to make sure the center stays open. While he will not comment on the specifics of the lawsuit, Governor Matt Blunt says his proposed budget includes a significant appropriation for Bell Fountain so the facility can improve its quality of care.
And that's always been my chief concern. The reports, verified reports, of serious abuse against some of our most vulnerable citizens of Bell Fountain should be a cause of concern for every Missourian and every Missouri taxpayer.
The family's lawsuit alleges that the state is using a waiver system to move residents out of Bell Fountain in order to close the center for political reasons. A group representing the family says Governor Blunt's proposed budget will cut services and force developmentally disabled Missourians into dangerous, unregulated group homes. Senator Jim Talent of Missouri says he's confident that Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito will be confirmed to the High Court. Talent says Alito held up well through tough questioning and believes he will judge fairly on the High Court. Alito's testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee wrapped up yesterday. The Senate Judiciary Committee will likely vote on Alito's nomination Tuesday, and the full Senate could vote by the end of the month. Finally this hour, a new series on the Weather Channel will look at weather what-ifs and whether the U.S. is ready to handle another major natural disaster. Jim Cantor, a meteorologist for the Weather Channel, says it could happen tomorrow, looks at actual weather disasters from the past, and considers what would happen if they occurred today. The new series premieres Sunday night at 8:30 on the Weather Channel. The first episode will take a look at what would happen if the September 1938 hurricane that hit Long Island, New York, happened today. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Carry. Carry Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion is trusted therapy that deeply conditions and nourishes elbows, knees, and anywhere else skin thirsts for moisture, leaving your skin feeling healthy and smooth. Try Carry today. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by heatupstlouis.org. Westbound 70 at 94 is road construction. The left lane is closed. Southbound 55 at Gasconade, there's a report of an accident. Westbound 5570 between the Exchange and Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 between 25th and the 5570 split. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit all the way into Cleves Landing. You can expect slow traffic northbound Route 3 onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge. Very heavy atop the ramp at this hour. Eastbound 40 at Brentwood, there's a report of an accident on the right shoulder. Eastbound 270 at 70, there's an accident, and that is at the 70 split. Westbound 270 from the Canal Bridge all the way to West Florissant looks good. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to Marshall, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, you've got heavy volume going on there as well. And westbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge, there's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked, and traffic backs up all the way to 270 at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by HeatUpSt.Louis.org. HeatUpSt.Louis.org wants you to remember that many disabled and elderly people are facing utility shutoffs. The choice between eating and heating may become difficult. Please make a donation at HeatUpSt.Louis.org. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday.
colder, windy, rain likely this morning, and rain and snow this afternoon. Snow accumulation should be less than an inch. The highs will be in the mid-40s. However, the temps will be falling to the 30s by the afternoon. This evening, blustery, colder, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 20s. Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 40s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy skies are calling for a high in the mid-50s, but we'll see. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clouds with light rain, we have 35 degrees. Lambert Fields is reporting 36. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call, It's Looking Black. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Scented candles. 283-1827. 283-1827.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Oh, welcome to Looking Black. Our guest this morning is Margaret Kimberly. She's a columnist for BlackCommentator.com, a writer for BlackCommentator.com, and she manages the blog Freedom Writer. And she's joining us from Brooklyn, New York. Margaret, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Harry Belafonte was right, wasn't he?
Oh, of course he was. I mean, which is why everyone is angry with him. It's, you know, yet another example of speech being considered worse than actions. As far as I know, Harry Belafonte hasn't killed anybody.
Mm-mm.
George W. Bush has killed thousands of people in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Haiti. But in this society, the worst thing is to call out people who are in power, rather than to do anything wrong like kill people. So, of course, he had to be attacked.
And I love Jon Stewart and The Daily Show. But, you know, it always, as a person of African descent, you always have to remember, you know, and remind yourself that folks are white.
Well, you know, I saw that segment, and of course they had to, you know, use a banana boat song and
yes.
Make fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
even though you would think their politics would be similar, but you're absolutely right. It's, you know, who is this guy? Who is this black man, this singer? Who the hell does he think he is?
And what I was really struck by, Margaret, was the audience reaction. Because you would think all of the audience responses that I've seen in the past, when John Stewart takes on George W. Bush, they're in agreement with him. They're clapping, they're laughing.
Right.
When they heard Harry Belafonte say that George W. Bush is the greatest terrorist in the world, the audience went, oh,
yes.
You know what?
How dare you say so? Well, it just shows you how unserious people are, even though they might appear to be friends. And I guess it's one of those important moments, and that's a reaction that we need to remember,
mm-hmm.
because people may disagree, they may not think we ought to be in Iraq for a variety of reasons, but people who were really serious about looking at the way the United States relates to the world and telling the truth about American power are in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone says something very basic and true, that Bush is a tyrant, let's see, he's cheated and stolen two elections, he's a terrorist, well, he has killed a lot of people, he's killed more people than Bin Laden. The one thing I thought that was interesting, they said, no, Bin Laden's the biggest terrorist in the world, and I'm like, he hasn't killed as many people as George Bush has. I mean, I don't know how you measure who's the bigger terrorist. I'm thinking body count, so I'm thinking, sorry, Bush wins.
Well, I'm thinking skin color.
Skin color, too, of course. Black people are not supposed to criticize white people. And a white man who is president, and even white people who may disagree with that white man, are not going to accept a black man criticizing him, even if what he says is absolutely true.
Because I think that you could make the argument, Margaret, that the audience of the Daily Show would have to be one of the most so-called progressive or liberal audiences on television today.
I'm sure.
And I think everybody should really get a copy of that show and listen to the collective shock and inhaling and disapproval that this audience expressed when Harry Belafonte said out his mouth that George Bush is the greatest terrorist in the world. Because if you're going to define the word greatest, I could be a person on 52nd Street, mm-hmm. with a gun, and I could be called a terrorist, but I don't have the means to kill a million people.
No.
The word great encompasses or includes the idea of the ability to carry this stuff out.
Oh, absolutely. And he's used it.
Yes, and he's used it.
So it's not even like, I mean, there are we don't know how many people have been killed in Iraq. A lot more that have been killed by car bombs. The media always shows someone weeping over their relative killed by a car bomb, and they should. But they never show the relatives weeping when an American bomb that our taxes dollars pay for falls on someone's home and kills an entire family.
Or those little bomblets. Bomblets.
Yes. Bomblets.
That's right.
But they're very, bomblets are still very deadly. And,
yes, they are.
And so, yeah, it's a warning to us that even people who are liberal, they're not that liberal.
Mm.
You can't push them too far. You can't have a colored man telling a white man he's wrong.
Mm.
And so even liberals will be like that.
So what else has caught your eye? Oprah been on your mind?
Well, this morning is good news that the legislature in Maryland passed a law that will force Walmart to pay more money for employees' health benefits.
Really?
Yeah, it passed just yesterday. They overrode the governor's veto. The law requires any employer in the state that has, I think, more than 10,000 employees, that's like Walmart and a couple of others, to spend a certain amount on employee health benefits, because Walmart has their employees get Medicaid. Most of their employees go to us, the taxpayer, for their health insurance. The biggest employer in the country, largest retailer on earth, and they pay a pittance for health insurance. So that was very good news. And Walmart was lobbying African-American legislators in particular not to pass this bill. But they stood up and they did the right thing.
And there are a number of states that are watching that very closely, because states all over the country are concerned about the drain on their resources when Walmart comes in and gets these tax credits.
Absolutely.
And then they send their employees to provide another drain on the economy, having to go get health care from the state.
Yes, absolutely. Not to mention the fact that Walmart steals jobs rather than produces any new jobs. So, yeah, they don't. Walmart does not open that has not been subsidized by Americans' tax dollars.
Very good. That's a good story. What else has caught your eye?
Well, Alito. The confirmation hearings for Alito to be on the Supreme Court, he probably will be confirmed, unfortunately.
I just heard a news break prior to your coming on saying that the Democrats have capitulated. There's not going to be a filibuster. I had Howard Dean on the show yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I said, are we going to have the F word? Are we going to filibuster?
And what did he say?
I'm not in the Senate. I don't know. I don't think he should be approved.
Well, that's a no.
No. In a word, no. In a word, no.
Well, they were more, I noticed when they were questioning Alito, they, you know, had long-winded statements to make, and I kept thinking, get to the point. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Ask him what he's going to do. Ask him about his decisions. But they weren't really serious about challenging him. And I think even though Republicans have the majority and Bush will more than likely get all the nominees he wants, Democrats still are supposed to fight. They're supposed to be the opposition. They should filibuster. They should do anything and everything they can to say that we will not have this imperial presidency where the Republicans run everything and no one has a voice.
Someone's supposed to fight back.
I'm not the opposition party, not anymore, apparently. It's left to us, the citizens, to do it.
And what do you have to lose? Because I think that every Democrat could get up, Margaret, and say, you know what, our job, this is a job interview, and we have to assess whether a person is telling the truth or not. And this is not Perry Mason. I don't expect that Alito is going to say, you know what, I lied, I was wrong. But you've got to raise the questions and get the responses that show that he is not credible. For him, a grown man, on the one hand, to be described as a brilliant jurist, to say, I don't remember if I was a member of the racist, sexist organization. You a lie. You a lie. And
no.
You shouldn't be on the Supreme Court.
Well, it's, you know, he, Justice Rehnquist, who passed away recently, he had a similar answer in Arizona. He physically kept black people from voting in the 60s. And when he was asked about it during his confirmation hearings to be Chief Justice, he said, I don't remember. Well, is it true that you took black people off the line in the at the polls? I don't remember. I'm not. Of course, the answer was yes. But, yes, everybody gets amnesia when their past is brought to light. So, of course, he belonged to this racist organization at Princeton University. But now, of course, he doesn't remember. He doesn't remember much of anything. The fact that he should have recused himself in a decision involving a company that he had large investments in. He couldn't remember that. He can't remember anything. Well, you know, abortion, I don't know. We know what he's like. Bush would not have chosen him.
And I understand why Bush chose him, and I understand why the radical right wing is embracing him. What I don't accept is the fact that all the Democrats had to do is to do the same thing that a jury would do. You're not going to get people to break down on the stand in most cases and say that they're lying. What you do is you point out the facts that lead to the only conclusion that they must be lying. And the Democrats have just like the standard is that if you don't make them break down on the stand, then you've lost.
Well, Joe Biden even says, well, we shouldn't even have hearings anymore because people, you know, get up there and they don't tell the truth. And I'm like, well, what is your job?
Okay.
What is your role in this? I mean, he's the ranking Democrat on the committee, and for him to just completely capitulate and say, well, I don't think we should even bother with these hearings anymore because people just get up there and say what they like. And I'm like, well, that's because of you, because of your wimpy Democratic colleagues and he wants to run for president. I don't know if he will or not. But Biden and the others really don't want to challenge Bush. They don't want to challenge him.
Did you ever see the television show? There was an HBO special called Dancing in September.
No, I did not.
And there was a line from that where this black man was trying to explain to his adopted black son why he adopted him. He was a judge, and the child was having trouble with the law. And the judge said to the child, to the teenager, the reason why I adopted you, the reason why I love you, the reason why I care about you is because I see me in you. Mm-hmm. And Biden sees himself and the Republicans. They are never going to truly challenge what they are and what they say because they see themselves in them.
Oh, well, they do, and all they want is to be part of the permanent government.
There you go.
They don't really want to change anything. They don't really believe that they don't really have their own ideology. Well, they do. Their ideology is to be in power, and that means to answer to corporate interests. It means to go along to get along. Mm-hmm. And so we have the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee saying, oh, why bother with these confirmation hearings? You can't get much out of them anyway.
Ain't that some stuff?
Isn't it?
It gets from
bad to worse.
Oh, why bother? Why bother? It's like an attorney saying, well, you know what? I'm just going to stop objecting because you're going to overrule me. Why bother?
Yes. So, indeed, why bother? I mean, why bother with the Bidens of the world?
Oh, so what else has caught your mind out here?
Well, the figures on Iraq, the cost of the occupation of Iraq have reached $2 trillion.
Mm.
And it is draining our economy. Of course, they still want tax cuts for rich people.
Some of them took place January 1st.
Yes, and they're still pushing for more. $2 trillion of taxpayer money that went mostly to corporations. Some of that, of course, is going to the Defense Department, but a lot of it has gone to Halliburton and Bechtel. And I can't say the word Halliburton without reminding people Dick Cheney is still being paid by Halliburton. Mm. They call it a deferred compensation pension thing, whatever. He's still getting paid.
Mm.
And our taxpayer dollars have gone to defense contractors, no-bid contracts, billions of dollars down the drain. $8 billion missing from the Coalition Provisional Authority with the letter CPA. And I said, well, that's, you know, they definitely are the money people. They managed to find something with the acronym CPA.
Mm.
$8 billion missing. That's all our money that went into private hands. Iraq is a colony of the United States. Nobody calls it that, of course. And it's falling apart faster and faster. It's going to go from bad to worse. It can't do anything, but occupations never work out because people don't like having their countries occupied. And any Democrat, and even people who like Congressman Murtha, who propose, I think, very limited withdrawals from Iraq, he's not saying let's leave tomorrow, are immediately demonized, are immediately shut down, are immediately attacked for suggesting even the slightest change. And the president had the nerve to several days ago to tell us, well, you can debate the war, but you can't say this and you can't say that. Well, it's like, well, that's not much of a debate if you tell me how I can debate you. You know, you can't give comfort to the enemy. So, of course, the assumption is if you question him, well, you're with him or against him. Now, he did tell us that, didn't he? So, so Iraq goes on and on and on, and our tax dollars go down the drain, and more people die, American soldiers, Iraqi civilians. It's a horror.
I was reading your blog, Freedom Writer. Oprah.
Oh.
Oprah.
Yes. Oprah's just a phony. I mean, I don't know what else to say. This is, you know, this, I don't know, should I call him a writer? This James Frey or Fry, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name.
Author of A Million Little Pieces.
A Million Little Pieces. Should be called A Million Little Lies.
There you go.
A book allegedly telling the story of his drug addiction
and his redemption,
yes, which is to just be a liar. And I said, well, that's addiction 101, just be a lying dog. But it didn't sell as a novel, so he said, okay, I'll call it a memoir. So he lied. He made up all kinds of stuff. He spent months in jail. He spent a few hours in jail. He said he killed somebody. He didn't kill anybody. He said he had root canal without anesthesia. Somebody should have known that was a lie. He was on Oprah's show. It's Oprah's kind of thing, you know, touchy-feely, and he saved himself and whatever and whatever. And now it turns out that he lied about the juiciest parts of his story.
And what I was listening to something on my way into the station today, and the publisher, and you're a writer, the publisher said, well, A memoir doesn't have to be truthful.
Well, this is news to me. All of a sudden this week, a memoir doesn't have to be true. And Oprah said, well, some of the facts are compressed,
Ooh.
As in made up out of thin air, out of, pulled out of, you know, pulled out of his behind. I don't understand. I thought a memoir was nonfiction. But suddenly, because they made a lot of money on this guy. Oprah, of course, if Oprah puts her seal of approval on a book, it's, you know, flies off the shelves. He's making big money. The publisher's making money. Oprah's making money. Everybody's making money. So the money has to keep flowing. So everybody has to defend someone who wrote a memoir that's full of lies.
And another piece of this, too, and I don't know if a lot of people know it out there, but Brad Pitt has bought the rights to the book, or someone's bought the rights to the books, and Brad Pitt is producing this as a movie.
Yes, yes.
So there's a lot of Hollywood. When you talk about the money of this, Hollywood is committed to this project, and they cannot afford for it to have any kind of hint of lies to it.
Oh, absolutely. So everybody goes along. Once again, now this is corporate power. I mean, the publishing industry, those are been taken over by conglomerates. They're corporations. Oprah is a one-woman corporation, and it's all about the money. So the guy goes on Larry King and brings his mom with him, I guess just to build, you know, just to make sure he gets sympathy, brings his mother with him.
How old is he?
I'm sorry?
How old is he?
30-something. I mean, too old to be on TV with his mother.
With your mama.
High, but clearly she's enabled him, so we see part of the reason he's a substance abuser. So Oprah calls on, and she comes on and says, oh, well, you know, these are just minor points.
Can I read the quote from your blog, Freedom Writer? And I feel about a million little pieces that although some of the facts have been questioned and people have a right to question because we live in a country that lets you do that, the underlying message of redemption in James Fay's memoir still resonates with me, and I know that it resonates with millions of other people who have read this book and will continue to read this book. Ain't that some stuff?
It's just a mess. I mean, how are you redeemed if the first thing you do is
try
to make money? And I'm like, well, first of all, that whole redemption story, you need to smooth that one, Oprah.
Well, memoirs don't have to be truthful, and redemption doesn't have to mean you've been redeemed.
No, redemption, I don't know what anything means anymore, right? Oprah is just... I appreciate as a black person what she has.
I'm conflicted because she has done wonderful things for some black people. She has spent a lot of money for black people, and then I start to like her again, and then I'm reminded. You know, I'm in this conflicted relationship with her because this is crap.
It absolutely is. She just she defended this guy.
And she shouldn't have.
The book was crap, and I had not heard much about it, but many people questioned the veracity of the story from the very beginning. And it's just too typical of what Oprah sells, this be your best self. But it's all about feelings. It's not about anything that's really hard in life. I mean, conquering addiction is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And
he lied about how he did it.
Oh, he did. He lied about everything. Everything. But, you know, it's, you know, we see what Oprah is really about, which is not much of anything.
And this is really one of those, what are those aha moments?
It is.
You
it
know?
Is.
This is an aha moment.
Yeah. So, you know, if anybody, if there was any doubt about what Oprah was really about, this tells us the story.
There had to be a reason that you went on, because she is famous for not going on anybody's talk show.
Absolutely.
For real. She never does that. It took how many, 13 years, over a dozen years for her to go back on the David Letterman show.
Right.
So for her to call Larry King about this one little book,
mm-hmm.
there had to be a multi-million dollar reason why she did it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It was, you know, he's like, oh, wait, folks, it's a surprise. You know, we didn't know Oprah was going to call it.
Yeah,
well,
of course,
you know, I'm sure she talked to this guy before she went on and before he went on, and they got their story straight, and maybe she kicked his behind the scenes and said, you know, this is what you better say, because I'm going to say I still recommend your book, so you better say this
right,
and say that.
Right.
So it was all phony, and everybody keeps making money, so everybody's happy, except that... You know, it's like those commercials they used to have for those psychic hotlines for entertainment purposes only. And that's how we should see Oprah, for entertainment purposes only.
We're going
to
take
no reason to take her seriously or listen to her.
We're going
to
take a break, folks. I'm talking to Margaret Kimberly. She's a writer for the blackcommentator.com. Best place on the internet to find out what's going on in the world. And she also manages the blog Freedom Writer. My name is Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. Stay with us.
You smell like you're shook at it. See, hamburger, man, they go. Come back in the money, thanks for thank you, but I know you go. Dirty. I sell up a pussy, boy. Kick up and gun and power.
Thirty-four minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. In both directions, Shetler at Shetler Manor is closed due to an accident. Westbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge, there's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked and it backs up through Guyer. Route 109 at 44, look for an accident there. Mason Road at 40, look for this. Traffic light's not working. Expect delays. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Guyer looks normal. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Lindbergh, it is stop and go. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry all the way to Marshall Road. Look for very slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79. Very heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way into West Florissant. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge to 55. That traffic there is lighter than normal. Westbound 70 at 94. There's road construction. Left lane is closed. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, look for slow traffic as well. Your bridges look like this. Westbound 5570 from the Exchange onto the PSB, it is slow. Westbound 64 at Bowell and the PSB is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Gravel Pit all the way onto Laclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume there. Northbound Route 3, those ramps to the Poplar Street Bridge are very heavy at this hour. And eastbound 270 at 70, that accident has been cleared at the split. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, winterize your car at a St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer. Radiator, drain, and fill, visual inspection, and battery check, all for just $39.95. That's Toyota value. See dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Windy, colder, rain likely this morning, rain and snow this afternoon, snow accumulations of less than an inch. The highs should be in the mid-40s, however, the temps will be falling into the 30s by the afternoon. This evening, mostly cloudy, colder, blustery, with a low in the upper 20s. Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 40s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 35 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 36, clouds and drizzle. Stay tuned for more of the wake-up call, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. That's up next. It's Looking Black. That's follows these commercials. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you looking to set the perfect mood? Well, you need the perfect candle. Light it up, Scented Candles. 283-1827. That's 283-1827. Beautiful scents, beautiful fragrances, beautiful aromas. Perfect moods require a perfect candle. Light it up, Scented Candles. 283-1827. That's 283-1827.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
Our next Mondays at 9 segment is a gut-wrenching account of racial injustice during World War II. During European operations, 70 soldiers were executed for capital crimes, and 55 of those 70 were black. Author Alice Kaplan has crafted a book called The Interpreter, based on notes from a French writer who served as an interpreter for the Army during 5 of those courts-martials. It's a deeply moving portrayal of how the blacks were legally lynched in France, but how one white man called a hero got away with cold-blooded murder. Author Alice Kaplan and The Interpreter, the topic for discussion on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Speechless, that's how you make me feel. If I'm with you, I am far away, and nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words, I don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel, so silently I pray.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest this morning is Margaret Kimberly. She is a writer for blackcommentator.com. She manages a blog, Freedom Writer. And what's the address for that, Margaret?
It's freedomwriter.blogspot.com.
Very good. So what else has been percolating out there that's caught your attention?
Well, Katrina, Hurricane Katrina is still, the effects of Hurricane Katrina are never ending. The city of New Orleans announced a plan this week that basically will destroy most of the residential areas of New Orleans. Any neighborhood that doesn't have a certain number of residents returning, residents who can't prove that their homes shouldn't be bulldozed will have their homes bulldozed. Of course, people who want to return can't return. Do they have a place to work? Do they have money? Will they be able to live there? People want to go back to New Orleans. If the government did what it's supposed to do and rebuilt this city, people would go back to their homes. But this is going to be, and a Republican congressman said it at the time, this is our chance to get poor black people out of New Orleans. And they're making good on that threat.
I've read the stories of people going back to the Ninth Ward and finding the skeletal remains of their loved ones still there.
Still there.
Still there. And how do we have a body count? How do we have a count of the people that died? And that seems to be a story that they're done with. Okay, this many people died, we're done with that. But they're bodies that nobody is looking for in the Ninth Ward. People died in their homes. They haven't gone through every home in
New Orleans. They haven't. And it's, you know, this Katrina shows us what happens when you don't have a government. The people who run this government, they use it for their own ends. To expand corporate power, to expand that over the rest of the world. And that is their purpose in having a government. It's not to take care of our citizens. It's not to protect the levees and make sure they're strong. It's not to help citizens in the case of a disaster. It's the government that doesn't want to do anything. The government should have been in charge of the relief effort. The government should now be in charge of rebuilding this neighborhood. The government, you know, they can do anything they want to do. They went to Iraq. $2 trillion.
They preemptively struck Iraq. So clearly they can do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is, it's just a failure of will. They don't want to do it. There is the role that was taken up by the Red Cross very badly, I might add, in providing relief should have been done by the government. The government doesn't have the count of casualties, the names of people. There are still children who are unaccounted for.
Lots of children that are unaccounted for. And children that can't find their families.
Exactly. So it's Katrina is I suspect that's going to be a news story. Well, it should be a news story. I'll put it that way for a long time to come. I think the attitude of the media is, well, we paid a lot of attention to that already.
I'm exhausted. Let's move on.
Yeah. We usually don't, you know, two or three whole weeks. We can't keep going back to New Orleans.
And I'm going to get my Emmy up off of that. I'm going to get my awards up off of the coverage that I did with that. Nobody can say that I didn't. I don't do hard news. Whew, tired of that. Let's move on to something
else. Yeah,
everybody
cried, you know, which of course led to more bad reporting, but, you know, that's why people can't get stories right about how many coal miners it did, because they feel, okay, all I got to do is go on camera and cry, and, you know, that's a news story.
Oh, so what else do we have?
Well, we have the Medicare drug plan, so-called. It's actually it should be called the pharmaceutical company drug plan. It's not helping many people. There are states now that have had to take on the job of paying for prescriptions.
Missouri is one of them. The administration here just passed a law saying that we will pay for the low-income folks that have been kicked off of Medicaid for this Medicare prescription drug benefits, and we will pay for it until they get it straightened out of who's supposed to be paying for what.
Yes, if when they get it straightened out, I don't know when that's going to be, because the purpose of the plan was never to provide for the health care needs of seniors. It was to make certain that the pharmaceutical companies still were able to charge as much as they wanted. This law prevents the government from buying in bulk and lowering the cost of prescription medications. The law says the government cannot help lower the cost of prescriptions.
Ain't that some stuff?
And so, of course, now you have states like yours, like other states around the nation, that are already strapped for cash, and they are the ones who are now taking care of the health care needs of seniors.
And they also lied, that this administration lied about how much it was going to cost us in order to get Congress to pass. And Congress didn't do their job to crunch their own damn numbers, and they went along with it.
Oh, absolutely. And, it's the Republican-controlled Congress, the Republican bill. And this is what, you know, and this is my argument when someone tells me, you know, more black people should vote Republican, and, you know, the Democrats take us for granted and whatever and whatever. And, yes, I've got, and we've already discussed the issues with the Democratic Party, but this is what the Republican Party does.
But this is what the Democrats do, too. They stand by. I mean, you know, and that therein lies the dilemma. What is his name? Dubinsky out of New York said that tried to create a liberal party in New York. And the challenge that he found as a white labor leader in New York City, supposedly one of the most progressive cities in the country, and particularly at that time, was that nobody took it seriously that the people that were liberals were actually going to vote for the right wing. And therein lies the challenge for people of African descent. Neither party does right. I mean, maybe we should just sit out elections for the next 8 years. And then the Democrats would have to do something.
I don't know if they would. They
if
seem
we sat
to be,
out, if we,
their actions just defy logic. They have done so many things.
But they can count on our votes. If they know that our votes are going to be there every single time, they don't, just like a man, if he knows that you're going to keep coming back no matter what he does, he's not going to do right. He's not going to do right.
That's true. That's a good analogy.
You know? So.
It's like we've got bad and we've got worse, and that's our choice.
Yeah. So.
But the Republicans are getting worse and worse. The difference between bad and worse is growing.
Yeah,
and the end result is a supposed prescription drug benefit that it seems is taking benefits away from people who already had them and causing state governments that were already strapped for cash to have to spend.
And we're going to take another break. I'm talking to Margaret Kimberly. She is a writer for BlackCommentator.com, and she also manages the blog Freedom Writer. She's joining us from Brooklyn. This is Looking Black. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. I will be back.
Crying, baby, to cry. And was it over? Jilted lover, trusted brother, operating undercover. Make you turn your back on your God. Tell me what you crying for. Let him go. He don't want you no more. What you crying for? Stupid. Never know. Once your eyes are closed, won't you roll? Hey, hey, brother, with mass plan.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline San Francisco. A California National Guard soldier who sued the military over the stop-loss policy has lost his case. The soldier, identified only as John Doe, protested the involuntary extension of his service by an 11-month period. He claimed it was an unconstitutional infringement of his liberty. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals disagreed with him and said the military had the right to keep soldiers active beyond their original contracted times. The all-volunteer military, had used the stop-loss provision to keep up troop levels because it has been failing to meet recruiting goals. Tens of thousands of personnel have had their time extended because of stop-loss. And Dateline Miami. A Florida political researcher says that he did an exhaustive study on the 2000 voting debacle in that state and has discovered that Al Gore really won the election. Lance DeHaven Smith says in his new book, The Battle for Florida, that most of the votes that were tossed out by the Election Commission were actually what's called overvotes. The most decisive trend was checking the name for Al Gore, but also writing in his name on the same ballot. He says the way the voting machines were set up caused those votes to be registered as spoiled ballots, when in fact the ballots that had the so-called hanging chads were less of a factor than these so-called spoiled ones. DeHaven Smith says that if you consider them logically, it only makes sense that the voters intended for their votes to go to Gore. He also said that most of those overvotes took place in predominantly black precincts and, consequently, affected people that had a history of being disenfranchised and cheated out of their votes for years. For instance, earlier this century, black voters would routinely be disqualified because of technicalities. Most noteworthy, ballots that were marked with an X instead of a check mark. He also goes on to say that the people who were in charge of operating the whole election process in Florida had a conflict of interest, and they helped to subvert an accurate recount. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you this hour by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry. Are you looking to set the perfect mood? Well, you need the perfect candle. Light it up, Scented Candles. 283-1827. That's 283-1827. Beautiful scents, beautiful fragrances, beautiful aromas. Perfect moods require a perfect candle. Light it up, Scented Candles. 283-1827. That's 283-1827.
The Collegium Vocal of St. Louis presents Recycled Music of the Baroque on Sunday, January 15th at 2 p.m. The concert takes place at the St. Louis Abbey Church. The program will feature some examples of original and recycled works. This concert will be included in the festivities of the St. Louis Abbey Golden Jubilee. Admission is $5 to $10. To find out more, call 314-727-5656. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
I'm
know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Our next Mondays at 9 segment is a gut-wrenching account of racial injustice during World War II. During European operations, 70 soldiers were executed for capital crimes. 55 of those 70 were black. Author Alice Kaplan has crafted a book called The Interpreter, based on notes from a French writer who served as an interpreter for the Army during 5 of those courts-martial. It's a deeply moving portrayal of how the blacks were legally lynched in France, but how one white man called a hero got away with cold-blooded murder. Author Alice Kaplan and The Interpreter, the topic for discussion on the next edition of Mondays at 9. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like a flower waiting to bloom, like a light bulb in a dark room, I'm just sitting here waiting for you. Come on home and turn me on.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest journalist this morning is Margaret Kimberly. She is a writer for BlackCommentator.com. She also manages the blog Freedom Writer. She's joining us from Brooklyn, New York. Margaret, we have about 6 minutes left here. Final thoughts on some stories that have been catching your eye this last week.
Well, it's a story we need to pay attention to for the future, and that's the issue of Iran. There are many people in the Bush administration who want to declare war on Iran. Israel has been agitating to bomb Iran. Iran is trying to get a nuclear capability, more than likely. And it's little wonder. If you have the bomb, the United States won't mess with you. So I'm not surprised that they want to do that. But there's been a lot of attention focused on comments that the Iranian president made about Israel and about the Holocaust, but I'm not defending them, but I think those comments were the result of Israel's very public threats against Iran and their agitation for the U.S. to attack Iran. And I think it's something we need to pay attention to, because this regime is not going to stand by and allow talk of impeachment to take place. Mm-hmm. They're not going to stand by and as dissatisfaction grows with the occupation of Iraq. They're not just going to stand by and say, oh, well, never mind, forget about it. They're going to start a war when they feel threatened. And I think Iran will be the place.
We're going to have Scott Ritter on next week to talk just about that, because you are absolutely right that something's going to happen. Something's going to happen to move the sentiment and the attention of distracted Americans to Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be there. This is a war forever and ever. Amen.
Well, that's what they've said. You know, the war for terror will never end, and they'll call everything a war against terror. And everything will be called a war against terror to maintain support. And I guess you've noticed since November 2004 there haven't been any terror alerts that were coming fast and furious, just in case anybody thought about, you know, sending Bush out of office. Let's just remind people that you've got to be afraid. You got to keep him around. So no terror alerts, but, of course, there will be an unending war on terror. And I think we need to, when we see stories about Iran, we need to pay very close attention and we need to be very skeptical. When we read anything negative about the Iranian government, the Iranian people,
and what they're trying to do,
yes,
and what they are trying to do, it's just
sometimes, Margaret, is just breathtaking and exhausting and just never ending, that we are in a place where our government is saying that you have, because we are at war, I get to govern absolutely forever, and there's no end to this. And we have Americans that are just, that are comfortable with that.
And all they need is a new war. Yeah. You know, people may question, even people who supported the war against Iraq because it was going to be quick and easy. Those who are now dissatisfied, it's not because they're, as we said before, because they're really serious about it. But if you start a new war, if you say there's a new threat, if you say it's nuclear weapons, if you say, see, they said the Holocaust was a lie, if you just think up something, you create something new, then those same people who are dissatisfied with Iraq will say, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And also, just think about it. How many years did it take before Americans started seeing, began to question Iraq? So they figure, shoot, we'll do Iran, and it'll take them 5 years to catch up to this.
That's right. And then we'll have another Republican in the White House.
And we'll have another war.
Yes.
And we'll have another war.
Yes.
So it's, Margaret, give us your blog address again, please.
Sure. It's freedomrider.blogspot.com.
I love that. What is it? That the picture that you have up there of Tom DeLay. What is it?
Oh,
what is that?
Kickback Mountain.
Yeah, Kickback Mountain.
I found that on a website. I thought it was really funny. I said, I've got to put this on my
Hugely funny. Kickback Mountain. Wonderful. Margaret, thank you so much. Happy New Year, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me again.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back in the next hour. You don't want to miss this? Stay with me.
Today's edition of Looking Black on the award-winning Wake Up Call is brought to you by
Light It Up Scented Candles, 283-1827, 283-1827.
King was shot and was killed tonight. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Steve Taylor. The Labor Department reports that the rising price of gasoline pushed the wholesale inflation rate up almost 1 percentage point last month. However, the unusual warmth in much of the country this week is bringing some relief from high oil and gas heating costs. ABC weather correspondent David Muir reports.
The Energy Department predicted skyrocketing prices this winter. They're still going up, but they put out revised numbers with these warm temperatures of the last few days. The hike is not going to be as much as anticipated.
The dry grass fires continue in Oklahoma, at least 11 causing trouble this morning. At least 20 homes burned near the town of Ratliff City. ABC's Neil Karlinski says the recent string of Pacific rainstorms is no help to Oklahoma and a crisis for the Seattle area.
There are mudslides almost daily. It's almost as if all of the rain on the West Coast is only coming to one place, right here in the Pacific Northwest, leaving the southwestern United States bone dry.
The Senate hearings into Judge Samuel Alito's nomination to the Supreme Court should end today. Alito himself finished testifying yesterday, but isn't done with questions.
It's like extra homework. Additional written questions that several senators want Samuel Alito to answer in writing before they vote. The committee expects to finish its hearings today with panels of witnesses for and against the nominee.
ABC's Vic Ratner reports from the Capitol that Democrats are suggesting there won't be a filibuster against Alito. New tests of DNA indicates a 1992 execution for murder was not a mistake. In Virginia, testers say there's almost no doubt Roger Coleman raped and murdered his sister-in-law.
This is a very bitter pill for me to swallow. However, the truth is the truth.
Prisoner advocate Jim McCloskey in Richmond. Authorities in the Philippines have issued arrest warrants for four U.S. Marines accused of raping a 22-year-old woman. Those four are being held at the American Embassy
in Manila. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'm painting this weekend. Number three, since all the decorations came down, this place needs some pizzazz. Number two, I've been seeing it in my mind. It's time to see it on my walls. And number one, money back on the paint.
This weekend at the Home Depot, get $5 off 1 gallon cans of Behr interior or exterior paint by manufacturer mail-in rebate. And $20 off 5 gallon buckets. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid for January 16th in U.S. stores only. See store for details.
This is Larry King. Do you feel surrounded this time of year? Worried you're going to catch something? Don't worry. Do what I do. Help strengthen your defenses with Ester C, the clinically proven vitamin C that works in your immune system for 24 hours. Advanced Protection Ester C, because a strong immune system is your best defense.
Also, look for the Advanced Protection Vitamin E, Ester E.
A search engine Yahoo has filed a lawsuit to shield itself from a $15 million fine in France for Nazi merchandise sold on its auction website.
The law in France prohibits the sale of any Nazi memorabilia. Yahoo claims that law does not apply in the U.S. and fining the company would infringe upon its American right to free speech. A federal appellate court in San Francisco tossed out the lawsuit, saying it doubts the French government will try to collect the $15 million. Yahoo is no longer selling Nazi memorabilia. Alex Stone, ABC News.
In New York City last night, the Rangers hockey team marked the retirement of former captain Mark Messier, the second highest scorer in NHL history.
I came here wanting to win a Stanley Cup, and what I got was a life experience that I never... I learned more about life and what is important about life coming here.
Steve Taylor, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Reinsmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a 13-year-old suspect is in the St. Louis County Jail charged as an adult in an attack on a child about half his age. Sherman Burnett Jr. is charged with forcible sodomy, first-degree assault, and child kidnapping. Burnett is accused of assaulting a 6-year-old Spanish Lake girl in November. The victim is continuing to recover from her injuries. If convicted, the teen could face a life sentence. Governor Matt Blunt continues to defend the controversial changes to Missouri's Medicaid program as he tours the state to highlight his goals for the next year. Blunt says his administration will continue its efforts to better combat Medicaid fraud.
Thus far in my administration, we have discovered and then corrected $138 million in Medicaid fraud. Fraud that's harmful to Missouri taxpayers and makes it difficult to provide assistance to Missourians who truly need the help of their fellow citizens.
Blunt says the Medicaid cuts have saved the program, which he says would have cost well over $900 million additional dollars if no changes had been made. Some state lawmakers have launched efforts to restore the cuts, which have affected over 100,000 Missourians. Finally this hour, there's a new place for victims of domestic violence to turn in times of crisis. Yesterday, the Family Justice Center opened its doors in downtown St. Louis. U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez was present for the unveiling ceremony. St. Louis was one of 15 cities nationwide selected in July of 2004 to receive one of these centers through a grant from the U.S. Department of Justice. 5 Family Justice Centers are now in operation throughout the country. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Carrie. Carrie Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion is trusted therapy that deeply conditions and nourishes elbows, knees, and anywhere else skin thirsts for moisture, leaving your skin feeling healthy and smooth. Try Carrie today. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by heatupstlouis.org. In both directions, Shetler Road at Shetler Manor is closed due to an accident. Route 109 at 44, look for an accident. It's been cleared. Nason Road at 40, that accident has been cleared. Westbound 70. At Kings Highway, that incident has been cleared as well. Westbound 255 at DuPont, there's an accident reported. Westbound 70 at West Florissant, look for a disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Guyer. Expect normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Look for no problems to report. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79. Look for that traffic to be easing. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and Marshall Road. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant Road. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 70 and 94, there's road construction. Left lane is closed. Westbound 40 and McCausland and Hanley, heavy traffic there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from Exchange onto the PSB. It is slow. Westbound 64 between 15th and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit to Laclede's Landing. Look for slow traffic. And northbound Route 3, those access ramps from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for heavy volume there. Until 2 p.m., the left lane of northbound 67 is closed from 2 miles south of Route CC for maintenance work. So that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by HeatUpSt.Louis.org. Baby, it's cold inside. Help area elderly and disabled beat the winter cold snap with a donation to heatupstlouis.org. Please donate today at heatupstlouis.org. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Colder, windy, rain likely this morning, rain and snow this afternoon, snow accumulations of less than an inch, high in the mid-40s, but the temps will be falling into the 30s by the afternoon. This evening, colder, blustery, mostly cloudy, with a low in the upper 20s. Saturday, mostly sunny, high around 40. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And Sunday, they're expecting partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 35 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 36 with drizzle. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Was shot and was killed tonight.
I will never say that Congress is unique. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, and we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be taking your calls and comments this hour at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And always, the shows are archived at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. And don't forget that we are streamed at WGNU.net. Also, iPodded at whiterosesociety.org. Check out the website if you want more details about the shows that we have, the things that we do, how we roll. Get to the website, lizbrown.com. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, is that me, Liz?
That is you.
Is that me?
That is you.
Okay, listen, current events. A rash of balls in North St. Louis. I see these current events. It's nothing new. None of us can see that it's new. But I think our teenagers are going to be a large part of, they have been in the past, of what's going to occur in the future. Now, my belief is that someone black souped them up. Well, first of all, let me just say this. The drugs and the guns are going to be in the black community. That's going to be, that's a given. Okay, then. Since we know that's a given and we understand it to be a given, I think a lot of our young people are going to be souped up out here, and we're going to have these type of occurrences. There's a lot of information out here. There's a lot of knowledge, true. And you're one of the people that keeps that going. But still, it's going to be victims, and it's going to be, just victims all the way around. They're going to catch me. It's not far where I can go as a poor person run. Then I just shoot two other poor people. And I think it was just a black person that souped this type of behavior up and things like this. Let me make one other point. Now, a lot of the scholars out here think white people are behind it. But me, as an individual, my opinion is that I think white black people is behind it. So it's just a matter of six of one hand, half a dozen of others. But we know for certain that the drugs and the weapons are going to be here.
Well, here's the thing, Pat.
So, you may not agree.
Well, it's not a matter of it's not a matter of whether or not I agree or not. And I guess you're just going to walk away. Any city should be concerned about an increase in crime. But also you have to understand that we live in a city where an individual who is in the office of the mayor has lied repeatedly about the stats, the crime stats in the city. We have a police chief that has lied repeatedly about the crime stats. Rapes are not reported, they're underreported, they're not investigated in a city that has a racist past, a racist present, and a racist future, given those that are behind the driving wheel right now. It is no surprise that it's kind of like the Bush administration using 9/11 as an opportunity to take away all of our liberties. 9/11 was good news for this administration. An administration bent on giving power, creating an absolute dictatorship, all-encompassing, never to be questioned office of the presidency. What better thing, what better news could you bring them than a 9/11? Which would give them the opportunity to make the changes that citizens would not allow them to, at least citizens would squawk about in times of peace. We live in a city where this uptick in crimes, whether it is true or whether it is not true, because they lie about the statistics. those people happen to be white, and they are lying about the statistics. So when people raise the question of whether or not this is a white thing or a black thing, let's look at where let's start at the top of the food chain in terms of people in positions of responsibility. We have a chief of police who is white in a city that is predominantly black. We have a person sitting in the office of mayor who is white in a city that is predominantly black. We have an uptick in violent crimes, and we have some folks like the last caller who will call in and take it all on themselves and say it's all about us. When the reality is this is a George W. Bush moment, an opportunity to defend the indefensible. What is the indefensible in this case? The indefensible is the fact that we had an all-white graduating class of police officers in the city of St. Louis. That hasn't happened in 40 years. And a white police chief that has said black people don't want to be cops anyway. I slammed all of the black police officers that serve under him. So how do you justify an all-white police class? Oh, you start ginning up the violence, baby. You start putting out those terrorist alerts. Ask George Bush how you can make violence work for you. You haven't read his handbook? The good news about 9/11? You haven't read that manual from George Bush? Huh? bombing is good? Oh, yeah. Of course, we're going to have lots of stories about how high crime is in the city of St. Louis as they run out, as they churn out, as they put out more and more white cops and then defend the change in residency rules. Oh, yeah. You doggone Skippy. There's going to be a whole lot of that. And ask George W. Bush how well it works to lie about numbers, to exaggerate the numbers, or how to use how to make a tragedy work for you. I mean, they've read his handbook, and that's what's going on right now. That's what's going on right now. It ain't opinion. It's fact. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number, huh? I read this article and I had to put it down and just put my head on my desk. And I can't take a whole lot of these stories because they're so painful to me. What must God think of this nation? What must God think of this nation? On Thursday, that would be yesterday, the Department of Interior approved oil and gas drilling on Alaskan land considered sensitive wildlife habitat. How sensitive is it? This is wildlife habitat that was first protected under Secretary James G. Watt under Ronald Reagan. And habitat so sensitive that it has been protected by four Interior Secretaries since. Our good government is opening up this land, this 500,000 acres in around Teshapuk Lake on Alaska's North Slope. The area is a critical stopping point for molting geese on the Pacific Flyway, as many as 90,000 birds resting in flat wetlands in the summer. 46,000 caribou use the areas near the lake for calving, that's having their babies, and migratory paths. It's just, I put my head down on my desk. When is it ever going to stop? When is the rape going to end? When is the rape going to end? This is a plan that makes every last acre of 500,000 acres available for oil development. When is it going to end? What must God think? Car phone.
Hey, Liz, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
God bless you, sweetheart. You know, that's a sad thing that's going on. They're doing it right under our noses. Without votes, they're giving the people, they're giving the senator from Alaska everything he wants under the table just for him to keep his mouth shut.
Mm.
We're talking about the governor, we're talking about the senator of Alaska.
I know who you're talking about.
This guy's been, he's a bully. He's a bully in the Senate, and he's getting his way, and that's pretty sad.
And what's so funny to me is that I don't know how a 5'7", 180-pound, 75-year-old man gets to be a bully. Who can't take him? Okay? Who can't take him down? You know, so I don't understand. I don't understand how all these paper tigers, people that wouldn't say boo by themselves, get to be bullies. You can take them.
Got about 16 bodyguards.
You can take them.
Scared for his life.
Mm, should be. All that stuff he's doing wrong. If you're doing that much wrong, you know somebody trying to get you.
Hey, Liz, I was looking at the news down here in Virginia to change the subject a little bit. There was a graduating class in Suffolk, Virginia, of police officers, and it was one brother in the whole class, and the news media was trying to make an issue of the fact that there were so few African-Americans being police officers in an all-black community. And they had white officers sitting behind them when the question was asked of him, and he looked like he was afraid of his life.
He had people sitting behind him with guns.
No, police officers, right, smiling and grinning like it was a big joke when she asked the question.
It was a joke to them. It was a joke.
Like he was afraid for his life.
Well, he was.
He hasn't gotten out of the class yet.
He was afraid for his life. He don't have to be partners with one of these guys. Yeah, he was.
I'm saying, my sister, it's a lot of brothers out here that are in the 35, 40-year-old life age group that would love to be police officers, but they got criteria that exclude them right off of the bat.
No, it's not even that. It's that they're not. The fact of the matter is that it's not that there are a criteria that excludes them off the bat, because there are plenty of white people out there that can't meet those criteria. The fact of the matter is the selection process is based upon race. The recruitment process is based upon race.
I was in the Army in the 80s. And they started excluding blacks from the military for the same excuse, saying that we weren't smart enough be in the United States Army.
Thanks for your call. 444-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I respect you. My name is Joseph, and I called once before. And I'm calling, Ms. Brown, because I'm tired and I'm upset. If I can change the subject, I'd just like to speak about my daughter who attends St. Louis County School. And she was recently suspended for a fight. Prior to her suspension, my wife and I spoke with the administrators over at the high school and let them know that things were brewing with my daughter and some other young lady. And what ultimately happened was my daughter was suspended. The girl came to my daughter's basketball practice, started the fight, and my daughter was suspended. And the only thing that the administration can say and how they justified my daughter's suspension was when the basketball coach attempted to break the fight up, asked my daughter if she yielded to him, and she said, well, no, I don't think so. And basically they pointed fingers and said, aha, well, this is the reason that you're going to be suspended.
I don't know what that means. Did she yield to him? What does that mean?
Well, when they tried to pull her off, she just didn't, you know, she was in the course of fighting, and you know, they asked her if she said when the coach attempted to pull her, if she, you know, just got up and just stopped fighting, and she said that she didn't, because they were engaged in battle, if you will. And their reason for justifying, you know, the suspension, even though my daughter was where she was supposed to be, she was at basketball practice. Another young lady that came to the school was not supposed to be there. She was actually trespassing, and that's when the fight began. But I think our primary contention is the fact that we warned administration 2 days before that. My daughter had problems. I told her to speak with her principal. She did. He said that he would do some conflict mediation. And then my wife came up after some other things were said. Now, I have insight, and I'm privileged to this information because I also work at the high school. I'm the in-school suspension coordinator, and I've seen quite a bit, to be quite frank with you. And my wife went over to the district to meet with the superintendent and the assistant superintendent. And as my wife was leaving, and I heard over the radio, the school radio, that the superintendent let them know that my wife had just left the office unannounced, and for them not to urge any other response with us, I mean address any of our concerns. I heard this over the radio. But after the suspension, my daughter, they gave her a 2-day suspension. However, this was during finals week. She couldn't take her examination during regular classes on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, which is really 3 additional suspension days, and they said that she wasn't suspended. She also couldn't play on the basketball at the basketball game, which is the very least of our concern. They didn't want her taking her picture, and they allowed her to eventually sit on the bench today, but they said that she can't start. So it's just like they were just changing the policy as they went along.
What grade is your daughter in?
She's a freshman. She's a freshman, and I didn't know if it would be appropriate for me to name the school district right now. And the reason that I tell you that I'm tired, Ms. Brown, is because my wife and I are proactive parents. I'm an involved father. I've been involved with both of my daughters. I mean, my wife and I, you know, we just try to be active in the community and community-oriented. And I know at the high school they are trying to achieve the gap in terms of education. And I know that they always do things to try to get parents to come in and meet the African-American parents to come in and meet with the teachers during report cards.
What school district is this?
It's the Webster Groves School District.
And how many kids that look like your daughter are there in her school?
24% is in the district.
No, I'm talking about her school.
In her school, I would imagine as 1,300, so I would imagine about 300.
About 300 black kids?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and how many are in her class, do you think?
Her freshman class?
Uh-huh.
I would say maybe 200. They had a pretty big freshman class to enter this year.
So how many kids in the freshman class?
Around 200.
And how many are black?
Oh, I would say about 75 to 100, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I am not surprised. This is not anything that I haven't heard before. I think one of the things that I think is the challenge is, what's the challenge in the city of St. Louis schools? It's the challenge of the composition of the school board.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge of how many teachers at Webster Groves in your daughter's school are black. How many?
There are 4 out of approximately 106, I think.
Mm-hmm. So we have an overwhelmingly, is a coach black or white?
He's white.
Mm-hmm. So we have an environment that, and the girl that she was in a fight with was black or white?
She's black.
So we have an overwhelmingly white environment that your daughter is in.
Yes, ma'am.
In a society that has yet to address its racist and racial history.
Mm-hmm.
And your daughter is going to, in an environment like that, the odds are going to be with your daughter, no matter how involved as a parent you are. I mean, look how you were treated. Look, they turned you and your wife into criminals.
Absolutely.
That you were trespassing somehow on school property because you were concerned parents. Because there aren't enough parents out there that look like you and that will be concerned about the same issues that you're concerned about because of how you look.
Okay.
So, I mean, is your daughter bussed out to the Webster?
No, she's not. I live in the surrounding area, but by me being an employee, she can attend the school district.
So how's that working out for you?
I really don't understand the question.
I mean, because you're an employee, your daughter can attend what schools? Any school?
In the Webster District.
Okay, and are there any other schools in the Webster District that don't look like the school district that your daughter's in?
No.
What I would think about
mm-hmm.
is moving my daughter out of that district.
Okay.
I would really consider moving my daughter out of that district and into and paying the extra money to go to another district.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not that expensive in a lot of different districts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do, because now your daughter has been targeted and you're targeted too.
Absolutely.
By coming on this radio, you're targeted.
Mm-hmm.
By saying what you did, you're targeted. So, the bottom line is that your child can never get her education back.
Okay.
She can never repeat the grades that she's in. I mean, what kind of school district would not allow a child to take their finals? Allow them to be punished like
that? Well, they allowed, Ms. Brown, they allowed her to take her finals.
Okay.
But the way that the suspension was written was that she was suspended for 2 days, Thursday and Friday. Friday and Monday of last week and this week. However, they said that she couldn't come in the building during the regular times to take her exams, which was Tuesday, Wednesday, and yesterday. And we simply asked them to justify that.
So did she take her exams?
She did take her exams.
Where?
At the high school in the office.
Okay. Well, that's the challenge that you face. That is the challenge that you face. And you can't, there aren't any do-overs. And I don't think that parents should experiment with their children and say, we're going to tough this out. We're going to be there in spite of them. The damages and the assaults that are on your that will be foisted upon your child, not worth it.
I agree.
The child should have our children need to be able to breathe. Our children need to be able to live a life where they don't have to keep looking over their shoulders as they try to get their damn education.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact of the matter is that we need an environment for our children so that they can be educated in peace.
I agree, Ms.
And so if your child is not being educated in peace, fight the school district, but don't use your child as a weapon to fight the district.
No, we won't. We won't do that.
Take your baby out of that district, because they've already put a mark on her record already.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and you did everything humanly possible that you were supposed to do, and the response of the district to you is to tell everybody not to listen to you. I guarantee you that your daughter is going to be targeted.
Oh, well, we're aware that, you know, of that possibility. And so at this point, Ms. Brown, because it's actually happened before, and what I mean by that is just another parent who took a proactive position, and a fight ultimately happened also. And to me, it's just as if they're not taking, you know, our children seriously.
No, they're taking your children seriously, and they're treating them seriously like criminals.
Right.
That's what they're doing.
Okay.
That's what they're doing. I got a roll.
Okay.
Ms.
Brown, your email address.
Address,
because I'd like to send you a copy of a correspondence, if that's okay.
Revolution@LizBrown.com. That's LizzBrown.com.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Liz Brown. We're taking a break. You need to stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 36 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Carrie Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion. In both directions, Shetler Road at Shetler Manor is closed due to an accident. Westbound 70 at West Florissant, that incident's been cleared. Southbound 55 at Gasconade. Right two lanes are closed while crews clear vehicles from an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit and Broadway exit. Maintenance operations have that ramp closed. You can use 11th Street to get around. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Guyer, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 from McKnight to Brentwood, look for traffic to be easing this hour. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79. That traffic is also easing. Northbound 270 between Marshall and 44. That congestion is cleared. However, westbound 270 between Newhalls Ferry and Washington Elizabeth, look for a stop.
stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 70 at 94. Road construction has left lane closed. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. That has returned back to normal. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 to 15th all the way onto the PSB. Traffic is easing this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Illinois Bank and Laclede's Landing. Nothing to report there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That congestion is cleared as well. Until 2 p.m. this afternoon, the left lane of northbound 67 from 2 miles south of Route CC to Highway Route CC will be closed for maintenance operations. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Carrie Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion. Carrie Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion is trusted therapy that deeply conditions and nourishes elbows, knees, and everywhere else skin thirsts for moisture, leaving your skin feeling healthy and smooth. Try Carrie today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Colder, windy, rain likely this morning, rain and snow this afternoon. Snow accumulation is less than an inch. Highs will be in the mid-40s, but they'll be dropping into the 30s by the afternoon. This evening, colder, blustery, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight. A low in the upper 20s. Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 40s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy. They're expecting a high in the mid-50s, but I don't think so. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions and 36 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 36 as well with clouds and some drizzle. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Relax with an old friend. Janet Jimenez shares places and spaces with you at WGNU.net.
Hi, this is James Wakeman. I'm inviting you to get aboard the Glory Bound train. Every Saturday night, right here over radio station WGNU, traveling down track AM 920. Join us. You'll be glad you did.
The Glory Bound train broadcast with James Wafer is heard every Saturday night at 7:30 right here on WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4 Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, it's Kevin
and Sue McCarthy
of the Travel Planner Show. Every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
If you have a travel question, we'll try to find the answer for you.
Tell a friend and tune us in 2 to 4 Saturday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU.
Our next Mondays at 9 segment is a gut-wrenching account of racial injustice during World War II. During European operations, 70 soldiers were executed for capital crimes, and 55 of those 70 were black. Author Alice Kaplan has crafted a book called The Interpreter, based on notes from a French writer who served as an interpreter for the Army during 5 of those courts-martial. It's a deeply moving portrayal of how the blacks were legally lynched in France, but how one white man called a hero got away with cold-blooded murder. Author Alice Kaplan and The Interpreter. The topic for discussion on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
The world still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all of the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found. The little things and the joy they bring.
Well, Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Good, good. Liz, that last caller prompted me to call you because I had a situation with my daughter with the public schools, and she's a sophomore in one of the high schools. Mm-hmm. She was suspended back in, I think it was November maybe, for allegedly throwing a rock off a school bus. She was, the bus was stopped, they were taken, police were called, they were taken off the bus. This McGahee, who is the transportation director, he comes on the scene. Now, he goes to a bus, and he takes some other girls off the bus, and they supposedly point my child out that she had thrown a rock off a bus. Now, parents know their children, and, you know, I'm not saying that you know, all children act one way at home and they act another way away from home sometimes. But the situation that I had was that he tells the police that he has a recording on the buses and it will show exactly what happened. Subsequently, I go to the transportation down at the at the board, and there's no videotape.
Of course not.
You know, and he knew all the time there was no videotape.
It wouldn't be,
but he had
one.
Recommended that my child be suspended from school.
Well, you have to,
my daughter subsequently lost 3 days of school.
Mm-hmm.
I had to fight to get those days rescinded, and the principal at the school is horrible.
What school is this?
Central Visual and Performing Arts.
Okay.
He is horrible. He's one of the most disrespectful persons that we've ever dealt with, my wife and I. We had another incident at the school. We've written him a letter. He has yet to respond to us. I'm right now drafting a letter to Williams, you know, and hopefully that we can get some type of response from him so that we can get some meetings set up, because the principal was so disrespectful.
Well, when you say, and here's the thing, as a parent, you got to be clear about your definition of what you mean when you say disrespectful. And there have to be some specific incidences that you can refer to. It would be nice, you know, if things were recorded. It would be nice if pictures were taken. It would be all kinds of stuff. You need, like, the ACLU is arming people in certain cities with video cameras to videotape cops' bad behavior.
Right.
Parents need to, when you talk to these people, I think that you should be armed. I think that you should be armed with video cameras. I think that you should be armed with tape recorders. I think you should be armed with everything in order to record what you're talking about, because it comes down to a he said, she said, or even if you are effective in articulating what the disrespect is. So you need evidence.
Yes, you do. And Liz, you know what? It's awful funny that guy, not funny that it happened, that he happened to call in, because I've been intending to call you.
All right.
and let you know this, because I talk to you all the time.
Okay.
But I've been having to go to work, and I haven't been able to have the time to call you.
Okay. But I got to take a break.
Okay.
All
okay.
Right. Thanks for your call.
All right, Liz.
We're going to take a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
You this hour by Metro Law Firm, 388-3400.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline New York. The American Civil Liberties Union says it has obtained documents that confirm the existence of a secret special ops unit that has been alluded to in the past in connection with the abuse of detainees in Iraq.
The unit is called Task Force 626, and members have used fake names in an attempt to throw off investigations into their activities. The torture of detainees and the cover-up that followed is part of a larger black bag operation that is being authorized by high-ranking government officials. One document shows statements from an Army investigator who was looking into abuses by that unit. He said they gave him fake names and told him their computer had crashed and lost most of the records they had about a particular detainee who was stripped and beaten until he passed out, so they couldn't provide any insight into those charges. Another document was heavily censored and made reference to another secret program that was conducted at Guantanamo that allows harsh interrogation techniques. That memo was dated December 10, 2002. A third memo from March of 2004 spells out concerns by the Inspector General of the Joint Task Force in Afghanistan over the treatment of detainees there that was being conducted. It went on to say that no Army doctrine on the matter was in place, and the detainees do not have the privileges accorded by the Geneva Convention. There were also reports of how military personnel tortured prisoners by pouring alcohol over open wounds they had, and how a military police unit in Iraq used slingshots to inflict pain on a group of children who were hungry and tried to steal food from an army base. The documents were only released after the ACLU filed a Freedom of Information Act request. This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you this hour by Metro Law Firm.
When you've been hurt in an accident, there are many things to consider. Doctor's bills, time lost from work, medical costs, ongoing injuries, pain and suffering. For over 25 years, attorney Albert Walton has helped people get paid for their pain, paid for lost time at work, paid for their property, paid for their suffering. Before you talk to anyone, call 314-388-3400. That's 388-3400 and talk to attorney Albert Walton for free. If you've been hurt, let Metro Law Firm's knowledge and experience help you get paid. Metro Law Firm, 314-388-3400.
Need to get it off your chest? 314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGMU. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, the cure for the common cause.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Our next Mondays at 9 segment is a gut-wrenching account of racial injustice during World War II. During European operations, 70 soldiers were executed for capital crimes. And 55 of those 70 were black. Author Alice Kaplan has crafted a book called The Interpreter, based on notes from a French writer who served as an interpreter for the Army during 5 of those courts-martial. It's a deeply moving portrayal of how the blacks were legally lynched in France, but how one white man called a hero got away with cold-blooded murder. Author Alice Kaplan and The Interpreter, the topic for discussion on the next edition of Mondays at 9. The information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send me the only man she loved? With my father.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Dance with my father. Well, Luther. Luther, Luther, Luther. I know you're dancing with your daddy now. 454-0400 is my phone number. Whew. Three members of a family that survived Hurricane Katrina, facing eviction from a Texas apartment where they had found shelter, have been found shot to death. This was on December. This was right before New Year's. The bodies of a 40-year-old man, his 37-year-old wife, and their 14-year-old son were discovered in an apartment in Texas. A friend said that Hurricane Katrina had destroyed the family's home in Louisiana. They had spent a week on the streets before moving into the hotel. After Hurricane Rita had struck the Gulf Coast, the family moved again and ended up in Grapevine. A friend of the man who killed himself said he pretty much lost it after the hurricane. The man's wife said that he had told her, "I failed my kids again. My kids are starving." There's a 16-year-old daughter that has since been located. The police officers who issued the eviction notice said, well, you know, they were given the chance to talk to FEMA. Charles, you're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I was listening to you earlier, and I heard this story about these four missing astute young teenagers who went on this rampage out in the county.
Because they were bored.
Yeah, bored. Well, it also happened in New York, I think. And there were about four or five young teenagers who beat four homeless people. One of them died with baseball bats. It's on tape. They showed it on the news yesterday.
How were they being described?
As youngsters or teenagers.
They're using the word teenagers?
Yes. Young boys, young teenagers.
Okay. How old are they?
They look to be about 17, 18, from what we saw on TV. I mean, beating this man.
To death.
Yes. Mm. One of them died, and I think three of them are in the hospital.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted to let you know how these teenagers are doing, these savages.
Well, the fact of the matter is that I'm not the one to say that we need to reduce everybody and take people out of the human experience. I don't think that that's right, and I don't think that we're supposed to take anybody out of the human experience. But the issue here is that why are some people described one way as a savage and the other person is described as a bored teenager?
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue. You know, that we should be looking upon our children as our children. And if they're all going to be savages, then describe them all as savages. But race seems to be the reason or the marker, the demarcation of when a teenager, a bored teenager, becomes a savage.
You're right. Thanks, Liz.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. Demetrius, good morning.
How you doing? Can you hear me?
I certainly can.
You know, I really appreciate listening to your show. It's like no other, believe me. And I wanted to say, I was walking, me and my son was walking down in the Dawes Webby Peabody's, in the Housing Authority.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the cops pulled us over, right? Because we were just walking and talking. And I was asking him why they, you know, find a reason to stop me and my son, you know, and to check us down, have us to sit on the ground and all this other stuff, you know. And, you know, the guy was telling me, well, you can't walk through here. I said, this is a public, you know, street. We can walk through a public street. He said, well, next time you come through here, you know, we're going to give you a trespass. And I said, for what? If we're just walking and talking and we live in the community. And so as a result, after we got through checking, you know, running my son's name, running my name, we didn't have a warrant or whatever, and proceeded to let us go. And I told my son, you know, that they were just bullies, you know, and not to look at them as anything other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he told me? He said, I would bust your head right here if you say that again. Right in front of my son, I mean, with no respect. And this was a white and black cop, okay? And the white cop was the aggressive, disrespectful one who was initiating all of this. And the black cop did nothing but, he said nothing as if he was, you know, like he had no significance in the matter at all. And I was just stunned,
and
he proved that with my son, and it was horrible.
He proved your point. He proved exactly what you said to your son. He was a thug and a bully and shouldn't be carrying a gun.
And it's I mean, we were just walking and talking, you know. And my son's like 6'3". I'm about 6'2", you know. It ain't like, you know, we're no little kids out of, you know, past curfew or nothing, okay? And it was just horrifying. I was so upset at one point, you know, that I didn't know what to do, but I wanted to go down to the
You need to file a complaint against the cop that did that. You absolutely need to.
You know, it's so sad that
I've got a role, but you've got to file a complaint. You've got to file a complaint. That's one of the things that you need to show your son as well. You both need to go down to the police department and file a complaint against that cop.
I'll do that.
All right.
Thanks.
Call 454-0400. Vanessa, good morning.
Good morning. Is there a rule that they don't show minors who commit crimes on television?
As a rule, they are supposed to protect the faces of minors, yes.
Well, this boy that's 13 years old, Burnett is the last name, they saw this picture as big as day on the television screen last night. I realize he committed a pretty bad crime. He's charged with it.
Uh-huh. Because he hasn't been convicted of anything yet, has he?
No.
Okay.
And that's what really, you know, got to me. He's 13 years old. Why aren't they protecting his identity?
That's awful. That's awful. That's awful. And that's here in St. Louis.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Vanessa.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to be doing Healthy Futures. This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. You need to stay with me. I'll be back.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Steve Taylor. The rains continue in the Pacific Northwest. Lake levels are rising and mudslides are happening or threatened in many communities. In the suburbs of Vancouver, Canada, about 1,000 residents have been told to evacuate their mountainside homes. ABC's Neil Karlinski reports from Redmond, Washington.
They're not downpours, but it is a steady rain 26 days in a row right now, approaching a record set more than a half century ago. That record is 33 days in a row of rain. Forecasters say we're going to beat it.
The grass fires continue in dry Oklahoma. At least 20 houses burned last night near Ratliff City. There was a sharp jump in wholesale prices last month. Here's ABC's Pam Coulter.
Our buying power dropped last month as inflation at the wholesale level rose nearly 1%, the biggest increase since a 1.7% jump in September. For the year, wholesale prices were up almost 5.5%, the biggest increase in 15 years.
The reaction on Wall Street in the first hour of trading, higher prices, the Dow Dow's up 20 points. The Nasdaq is up 2. The S&P's climbed about 1.5. The Senate hearings into the Supreme Court nomination of Samuel Alito continue today, although Alito himself has finished testifying. There could be a committee vote next week and Senate approval soon thereafter. ABC's chief Washington correspondent George Stephanopoulos says Democrats are suggesting they won't try a filibuster.
Bottom line is they could not box in Alito on the big issues. Nothing Judge Alito said here will keep him off the court or constrain him when he's on the court.
In Iraq today, a U.S. Army chopper went down, perhaps under fire. ABC's Heather Nauer reports from Baghdad.
The Kiowa reconnaissance helicopter was providing air support for Iraqi police who had come under hostile fire. Both pilots survived the crash but were seriously injured. The cause of the crash is unknown. It's the second helicopter to go down in a week. A Black Hawk crashed 6 days ago, killing all 12 Americans aboard.
This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'm painting this weekend. Number three, since all the decorations came down, this place needs some pizzazz. Number two, I've been seeing it in my mind. It's time to see it on my walls. And number one, money back on the paint.
This weekend at the Home Depot, get $5 off 1 gallon cans of Behr interior or exterior paint by manufacturer mail-in rebate. And $20 off 5 gallon buckets. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid for January 16th in U.S. stores only. See store for details.
This is Larry King. Do you feel surrounded this time of year? Worried you're going to catch something? Don't worry. Do what I do. Help strengthen your defenses with EsterC, the clinically proven vitamin C that works in your immune system for 24 hours. Advanced Protection EsterC, because a strong immune system is your best defense.
Also, look for the Advanced Protection Vitamin E, EsterE.
In often sunny California, the State Public Utilities Commission has approved $3 billion in rebates over 10 years for people who install solar electric panels.
The PUC has approved the California Solar Initiative, or CSI, a multi-billion-dollar program to develop solar power here in California. Kerry Smith is Director of Regulatory Affairs for Berkeley's Powerlight Corporation, the nation's leading maker and installer of large-scale solar systems.
Because of this vote, companies will feel more comfortable in investing and expanding their companies. So it'll create jobs for California. It'll also make solar more affordable.
The vote means if a customer is interested in buying solar, the state will pick up half the cost of the system. The initiative calls for the development of 3,000 megawatts of solar-generated electricity in the coming years.
Reporter John Bristow. Singer Lou Rawls' funeral is today in L.A. Reverend Jesse Jackson will officiate. Singer Billy Preston's manager says he's fighting a combination of illnesses, chronic kidney disease, and an infection of the sac around the heart. Steve Taylor, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ryan-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, four Spanish Lake teenagers are charged with setting a series of fires in their neighborhood. 17-year-old Dennis Mudd, 18-year-old Joshua Wright, 19-year-old Joshua Thompson, and 19-year-old Christopher Krebs allegedly set several house fires beginning in November. The four suspects are charged with a total of over 40 felonies. Today is the first full day of outside testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. Senator Dick Durbin, an Illinois Democrat, says so far the hearings have been complete and thorough. Despite that, Durbin says he hasn't yet made up his mind as to whether he will vote in favor of Alito. The committee will likely vote on Alito's nomination Tuesday, and the full Senate could vote by the end of the month. Finally this hour, work is now underway on two new student facilities at Maryville University. University President John Neal says work on the 17,000-square-foot student apartment complex and 4,000-square-foot student commons will be completed this summer.
The entire project for us in terms of the apartment building, the commons, and this also allows us to add over 60 additional parking spaces. This is a little over a $3 million project for us.
Neal says the two new facilities will help better accommodate the needs of all students and help to build a better campus environment. The new apartment complex will be the fifth student apartment complex on campus and will include 2-bedroom and 4-bedroom apartments.
This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Kerry. Kerry Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion is trusted therapy that deeply conditions and nourishes elbows, knees, and anywhere else skin thirsts for moisture, leaving your skin feeling healthy and smooth. Try Kerry today. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Kerry Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion. In both directions, Shetler at Shetler Manor is closed due to an accident, and that's as much as I know about that. Southbound 55 at Gasconade, right two lanes are closed as crews clear vehicles from an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, the Broadway exit, that exit is closed. You can use 11th Street to get around. About 44, rest area is closed until January 24th as they're repairing and replacing sewer and water lines. Northbound Route 13 over on the Illinois side at Highway 15, look for road construction having intermittent day closures from Rogers all the way to the 13-15 split. 64 at 158, look for road maintenance operations having lane closures going on there as well. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Kerry Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion. Kerry Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion is trusted therapy that deeply conditions and nourishes elbows, knees, and everywhere else. Skin thirsts for moisture, leaving your skin feeling healthy and smooth. Try Kerry today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Colder and windy today. Rain likely this morning. Rain and snow by the afternoon. Snow accumulations are less than an inch. However, the high should be in the mid-40s, but the temps will be falling into the 30s by the afternoon. For this evening, colder, mostly cloudy, blustery even, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 20s. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-50s is what they're calling for. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 35 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 36 and drizzle. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. It's Healthy Futures. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
To all in this nation who dare listen to us, black,
white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Time once again for Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides you with information on how to take better care of yourself and live a more healthy life. Remember, good health truly is in your own hands. And now, Healthy Futures with Liz Brown and our guest for this week.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Healthy Futures. This is Liz Brown, and I am here, as always, with Linda McKirkland. She is the program director for Healthy Futures. Linda, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I am outstanding. How are you?
Excellent.
Very good. So, let's start as we always do.
We'd like to thank the listening audience for joining us every Friday morning to talk about taking control of our own health and how does that work. It works through our decisions and choices that we have once we're informed about different subject matters. We'd like to thank Support of China International and Eternity Deli for being the sponsors of this show. And again, just encouraging the listening audience that you do have the power to take control of your own health.
And what's our topic for today?
We're talking about herbalism today. For those of you in the listening audience who've had some questions about herbal remedies and what do they do and how do you go about, you know, taking them for the ailments that you have, we have a wonderful guest in the studio today, Cheryl Horde.
And if you're hearing some noises in the background, that's the stuff that the things that Cheryl's brewing up for us this morning. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning.
And we're talking about herbalism.
Yes.
Okay, not is herbalism.
Is it herbal or herbal?
Herbal.
We say herbalism mostly herbalism. In the United States, but in Britain they would say herbs.
Herbalism. Herbalism. Yes. All right, herbalism, what is that?
Well, it's the use of plants as medicine, things that are good for our health. Mm-hmm. Not only to heal maybe after the fact, but as a preventative, which I think is the most important topic, really, is how we can maintain our health.
And I would dare say that the times that we're living in right now are really should be like a heads up to the whole preventative tip.
Yes, yes. And there's just some very key points to make that I think can help somebody to get on a more healthy path. And one of them is to reduce stress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, are there herbs that we can take to deal with the stress that confronts all of our lives?
Yes, and mine as well. There are really quite a few nice herbs. Many are relaxing, mm-hmm. and these are especially important for stress reduction. And some herbs, you know, can just make you feel a little more alive and uplifted. And, you know, stress is a multifaceted problem. Sometimes because we're so stressed out, there are times when we really need to focus and concentrate, you know, and sometimes you need a little help. And caffeine is not always our best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And sugar is definitely not our best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to have alternatives just to keep you more balanced. And sometimes herbs just are a tonic for the whole body, all the systems, and those can be taken on a daily basis, like you might think of vitamins, mm-hmm. taking a vitamin supplement every day.
Well, what's the difference between taking an herb and taking a vitamin?
Well, herbs are just plants. Mm-hmm. You might also call it plant medicine, mm-hmm. herbalism. Vitamins are not always natural. They may look like that in the little plastic bottles, and they may be touted somewhat as natural on the label, but many are synthetic. And just to extract one vitamin, one little chemical from a plant is different than herbalism. Herbalism is using the whole leaf, the whole root, and the product is made from the entire plant material, not something isolated from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if there's somebody out there that says, I want to try this herbalism thing, It seems like it could be kind of overwhelming. Where do you start? What do you do? How do you begin?
Well, usually there might be a few specific goals that person has. And sometimes they just say, I just want to try to be more healthy. Mm-hmm. I want to live a more natural lifestyle. And then things like herbs that will help us to cope with stress are good topics to mm-hmm. start with, mm-hmm. a good place to start. And also some very simple things. You know, if somebody has a lot of sinus congestion or, you know, they have a lot of people have allergies in St. Louis. We have a lot of mold deal with here.
And pollution.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I brought some sinus tea this morning.
All right.
And herbs are such that, unlike some of the antihistamines and over-the-counter medications, you know, even if you don't have a sinus problem, drinking a little of this sinus tea is not going to cause you any other problems, you know, just because you don't have a problem. These are herbs that are good for your whole body, for many systems of the body besides respiratory.
Mm-hmm. And is there an art? Because I know that you talked about Great Britain a few minutes ago and their pronunciation. I know that they have a science of making tea. Is there something that we need to know when we're putting together herbs to help us? Should we be and we're doing it by tea? Should we be doing it a certain way?
Oh, what a great question! I'm so glad you brought that up, because, for example, I made this tea last night. Mm-hmm. It's steeped overnight. This mm-hmm. is made in a medicinal way.
Wow.
And it's not just a tea bag that steeps for a few minutes, which could be an herbal beverage, mm-hmm. a healthy thing, but mm-hmm. not a tea to create an effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so the taste of this is different.
Okay, let's get back to the cooking of it.
Mm-hmm.
When you said that you steeped it, what did you do?
Well, you boil water, and then you add an appropriate amount of herbs. Mm-hmm. At Cheryl's Herbs, the tea directions come with each package, and it will direct you to use a heaping teaspoon per cup of boiling water. Just combine herbs.
Is that loose?
Yes, this is loose tea. This is like old-fashioned, real thing, old-fashioned herbalism.
Okay.
And combine that herb material with the boiling water, mm-hmm. cover it, and let it steep many hours or overnight.
Now, steeping is when you actually remove it from the heat. And you set it aside.
Right, covered. Covered is very important. And then you just let it sit. It will return to room temperature soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the longer you let it sit, the more medicinal the tea will become, the stronger it will be.
And when you say that this is loose tea, does that mean you just put a bunch of leaves in it? Or, I mean, a bunch of the herbs and
herb material.
And do you put it in like a little ball or something?
It's best not to.
Okay.
It's really best to not use a tea ball and just to let the herb material freely float in the water.
Mm-hmm. You just have to strain it
right
when you get ready to drink it. Right.
And how easy is it to strain it? What do you do to strain
well,
it?
Well, most people have some sort of a kitchen strainer, you know, something slightly smaller than a colander to strain
mm-hmm.
noodles. You know,
right.
anything will do. Even cloth mm-hmm. will be okay.
Like cheesecloth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly is easier to use just a little metal strainer.
Mm-hmm.
And you could strain your whole pot. I usually make a pot of tea like on my stove using just a simple saucepan. You don't have to have a special teapot or special equipment. I made this tea last night with just a medium saucepan with a lid. And it's I just poured all of it through a tea strainer this morning, and I put it into a thermoses to bring today. But you can also just put it in a jar or a pitcher in your refrigerator. And in the summer, it's wonderful to drink that even medicinal strength tea as iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
So you can warm it up again every cup you drink, or cold, or add it to juice, or just drink it any way you want.
Now, Cheryl, what is your observation on these kind of naturally herbal teas and the teas that we get in the tea bags, the sleepy time teas and all of the other relaxant teas, or just the teas that you get on a commercial basis? I mean, what is your observation in terms of the products themselves? Are there chemicals in those teas? Are there no chemicals in the leaves that you're using as a product? So if somebody wants to make a better choice, what would be your opinion?
Yes. Well, I think the tea bagged type products, boxed usually in the supermarket and health food stores, they are a good choice. They are so much better than most other things that
mm-hmm.
we typically drink in a day. Water is always the best, of course. And I'd say the comparison would be that it's so typical these days that these tea bags are flavored teas. They do taste nice, but they are flavored, you know, berry flavored and this sort of thing. And
mm-hmm.
that's, you can only hope that they've used natural flavorings. And these days, even though flavorings are called natural, I would have a hard time myself calling something like that natural, even though it is called natural by the authorities. And just the fact that it's in a tea bag, it's been milled very small cut. That's a large machine. Mm-hmm. Usually these are pretty large companies compared to our little small business. Mm-hmm. And these things are bought in large amounts, and maybe they aren't stored like we would store preciously store a medicinal herb. You know, herbs are subtle, so we're very careful about preserving its potency. But you know, these large quantities bought in probably burlap bales and kept in a warm warehouse, possibly for a month or many months, who knows, before they're milled and put into a tea bag. And the herb is exposed to a lot of air, light, heat, and all of those things reduce the potency of herbs. And so I think that's it makes a pretty good beverage, a healthy beverage, really. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't consider it, you know, something to really be a remedy.
Okay. So, I mean, I like if I'm understanding what you're saying, that the fact that it's chopped up really fine, that the teas that you go and get at any grocery store in the area, because one of the reasons that we should be concerned about it, if we're looking for herbs for the purpose of healing or the purpose of helping or the purpose of making us better, if they're chopped up really fine, then you're not going to get a whole lot of the good stuff that's in them.
Sometimes the good stuff just goes away faster when mm-hmm. it's chopped up so fine. Like powdered herbs aren't quite always the best choice over this sort of cut version or whole.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about this tea that you made for us this morning. This is delicious.
Oh, thank you.
This is a smell. Is it?
I don't know.
Isn't it different?
It's a combination of many things.
Right. I might describe it like these kinds of herb teas are naturally aromatic mm-hmm. with a full range of dark, rich flavors. It's different than your little berry-flavored tea bags.
Right. It's almost like you can put it in one of those little warmers and let
it's like potpourri.
Right.
It looks like potpourri.
Right.
Actually, it's beautiful, all the different colors in this
really
package.
It really is. And when I walked in, because you weren't in here yet, Linda, when I walked in, I told Cheryl, this just smells wonderful.
Really?
And then you walked in, you're like, this smells wonderful. The room is filled with the smell of, and you just poured it out of your thermos.
Right. There's only about an inch and a half in each little cup, and it's quite
very
powerful.
Very, very aromatic.
You know, and if it was just another perfume or cologne in the room, we may not really be commenting so much. We're we're bombarded really in our daily lives with synthetic fragrance, but because it's so real, it evokes something in us. You know, it's ancient.
Right. Well, how do you determine, Cheryl, how much of this that you should be drinking? If I'm drinking this for a sinus issue, is there such a thing as too much? How much, or is there such a thing as too little? What's mm-hmm. the regime that I should get into, and how would I know?
How would you know?
Well, it does take just a little bit of knowledge, you know, to safely and effectively use herbs. Luckily, it's very simple. Mm-hmm. And at Cheryl's Herbs, we do help people with education. That's really a big focus. And you know, it just depends on the herb. To answer your questions, you know, it really depends on what the herbs are that you're drinking. For example, this is just, you know, marshmallow root, mullein, thyme, lavender, plantain, rosemary, and a few others. Mm-hmm. These are really safe herbs. They come with really no warnings. I think one or two of these herbs comes with a warning for pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it would be almost impossible to drink too much of this tea in one day.
Mm-hmm. And if you're drinking it for the sinus issue, what are you going to feel? What are you going to see? What's going to happen?
Well, it certainly will be a comfort. Mm-hmm. It leads us into the benefits of herbs. And you know, the FDA doesn't really allow somebody like myself, who actually has a business selling herbs, to state what their benefits are.
Okay.
But if I may phrase it differently, mm-hmm. if you would read about these herbs in the most respected publications, and this information is documented from either natural authorities, medical group, the scientific group, that you will read that, for example, marshmallow root, the biggest ingredient in this tea, is so soothing for all mucous membranes.
Okay.
So your entire respiratory tract is mucous membranes. And when they're irritated, we produce more phlegm and mucus. And so when you soothe that, it's very helpful. Mullein is just something that's from ancient times has always been used for respiratory complaints. Thyme herb, you'll read about it being very antiseptic, very good for infection. And again, this is not my opinion. This is, you know, this is what you can research about herbs. And they are just, the list is long here. The ingredients just goes on, and they each have a specific purpose. But mm-hmm. in general, they also soothe. And your herbs don't really heal the body, I don't believe. They just help your body to remember how to get back to normal.
Wow. And If I could just ask one quick question here. Okay, we go to Cheryl's Herbs and we pick up some herbs. I know if I go to a grocery store and I pick up some Lipton tea or something like that, I can have that on my shelf for 15 years, go back and get that bag of Lipton tea, and it will taste exactly the same as it did if I had opened it earlier.
15 years ago.
Is there a shelf life for since we're dealing with fresh things, or since we're dealing with natural things, is there a shelf life that we know about when we do this?
Yes, there certainly is. Mm-hmm. With dried herbs, kept nicely, meaning airtight, away from extreme heat and that sort of thing, they will be, I think, at their full potency for a year and a half, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They'll last a lot longer than that, but generally that's a conservative shelf life for mm-hmm. their best potency.
Mm-hmm.
And extracts, for example, I brought a few of these extracts. They come in small little eyedropper bottles. They have years of shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
And essential oils, I brought a little sinus mixture.
Okay.
And they have a shelf life of a few years, and I'll pass the bottle. It's eucalyptus, lavender, peppermint, and lemon mixed together. And these are essential oils.
It's mainly
for inhalation.
So what do you do? How do you do that?
There's many ways to use essential oils, and you know the use of them is called aromatherapy.
Uh-huh.
It may be a whole other topic in itself.
This is something like you put on your chest.
Yeah.
Right.
So
your chest hurts.
Yeah. How do you?
You can simply inhale it by just putting some on a tissue or Kleenex mm-hmm. and holding it up to your nose. You can drop for this particular sinus mixture. It could be dropped on the edges of your pillow as you sleep at night.
Really?
You could take a nice aromatic bath.
It smells wonderful. It really does.
I think so too.
And so what does it do when you're inhaling it? Does it open up things in the nasal cavity?
Yeah, for any listeners who have just tuned in, this is not my opinion mm-hmm. about what these herbs do,
right.
But if you read what has been researched, eucalyptus is so famous for
right.
clearing sinus
right.
congestion.
Send
infection.
It on the commercials. They all
right.
advertise. And when you smell that, it's familiar but
mm-hmm.
different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everybody out there is familiar with Vicks VapoRub.
Exactly.
But they brag about the eucalyptus in Vicks. But this is more.
This is the highest quality essential oils that can be found
mm-hmm.
in the world. And that's different than, you know, a petroleum product.
Absolutely.
And
it's pretty concentrated, too. It looks pretty concentrated.
Right. It's just the pure essential oil mixed together.
And if we kind of talked over you for a second there, but you were talking about an aromatic bath. So
yes.
You can put some of that in your bath water as well.
Right. And there it really depends on which oil. And mm-hmm. it's best not to speak too casually of this because it really matters which oil you choose and how many drops you put in your bath. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you would greatly reduce that for a child or not do it at all. So
mm-hmm.
essential oils are the strongest form of herbs available, and they come with many more safety cautions than just our lovely tea that we're drinking today or most of the extracts that are available.
And you have a business, Cheryl Herbs. Tell
mm-hmm.
us about that.
Yes, it's Cheryl's Herbs. We're at 7159 Manchester Road in Maplewood,
mm-hmm.
and we sell retail, wholesale, do lots of mail order, and I think it could be described as an herbal pharmacy.
Okay.
We're very different in that we offer herbalism practiced in the traditional old-fashioned way, the way these plants have been used as medicine for many, many centuries.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Very old-fashioned.
And for there are some people out there that would probably like to get into this and don't really have the... I don't want to do it by myself. I wouldn't know what to do. Do you offer courses and classes and
workshops? We have quite
workshops?
A few classes. I brought our flyer right now about our upcoming classes. And we also have a website, CherylsHerbs.com, and that's spelled with C-H, CHERYLSHERBS.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wealth of information on our website, as you can shop online or at least view the products, and you get a sense of the scope of the pharmacy when you see the full lines.
I think there are a lot of people out there that would really be delighted on this Plants of the Bible.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
That's a popular class. It's dear to my heart.
Yeah. And is there a phone number? Because there are a lot of people out there that don't have access to the Internet or not comfortable with it. Is there a phone number?
Yes. 314-645-2165. And we have a toll-free number, 800-231-5971.
Very good. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Linda McKirkland, Program Director for Healthy Futures, and also our in-studio guest this morning is Cheryl Horde. She is with Cheryl's Herbs, and we're talking about herbology, or if you're from England, herbology. And I want to remind you all, please, if you want to start the new year off right, do something wonderful for your body. Get on down to Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid, 454-1851. It will help you keep our little saying for the end of the show today, that I will try one new food this week. You can do that at Eternity Deli. That's right, Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Please go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
Need to get it off your chest? 314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The cure for the common cause.
This is Father John Couture with the words of Jesus on the subject of fear. He said, "Be not afraid. Fear is useless. What you need is trust. Pray for the grace to trust the Lord. Try to live in the present moment with God at your side. Repeat Psalm 22. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." This is Father John Couture inviting you to visit my website, messengerofjoy.com. Thank you, and God bless you.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
Learn about how plants and animals survive the winter at the Powder Valley Conservation Nature Center, 11715 Cragwold Road in Kirkwood, on Thursday, January 19th from 10 to 11 a.m. Living things have adaptations that help them survive the cold. Come learn how they survive the harsh conditions, then join our trail hike to look for signs of animal activity. Please dress for the weather. For more info, call 314-301-1500. Something for the winter from WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. This is Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides information on how to take better care of your own health. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We are talking herbalism today. We have a guest in the studio, Cheryl Hort. She's with Cheryl's Herbs. And I want to get to a couple of our callers here that have been waiting online to ask some questions. Christine, you have a question to ask of our guests?
Yes, I do. I would like to know, I have two questions. The first one is it true that when you're brewing your herbal teas, you should never use aluminum pots or strainers? And the second question is, could you give us some suggestions of those of us or whoever's going through the menopausal period, what kind of teas would aid in that? Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
Yes, I agree that it's not a good idea to use aluminum. There are certain chemicals and things that kind of tend to leach out of that metal into what is inside the pot, liquid or food.
And if I could just jump in, throw away your aluminum pan. You shouldn't have any anyway. I
mean, stainless steel.
Okay.
Stainless steel or glass.
Stainless steel or glass.
Mm-hmm. Is what I use.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and her second question was about menopause?
Yes. There are many herbs that ladies use with great success. And some of the typical ones, and again, this is not my opinion that they work, but if you research, these herbs are always spoken about, and that would be black cohosh, an herb called vitex or chaste tree berry. And often combinations of these herbs plus a lot of others are a good idea. Combination is good because, you know, the ladies we have many different hormones, not just estrogen, not just progesterone, and a nice formula is sometimes what I think I find for myself gives me the best results. And we have an article on our website called Natural Alternatives to Hormone Replacement Therapy.
Okay.
And I would recommend if you have access to the internet to check that out.
And the website again?
Is Cheryl'sHerbs.com, and that's spelled with a C-H.
Very good. Let me get to another caller here. Car phone. Car phone.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, Liz, it's hard to hear you, but I'll ask my question. Well, first of all, about 3 weeks ago, I visited Cheryl's Herbs about three weeks ago, and I was thoroughly impressed. I try to live as natural life as possible. I had a question regarding the sinus seep. Number one, is that a histamine blocker? And also, could you speak on stevia as a sweetener?
Thanks for your call and question.
Okay, great question. So the sinus tea, I would not call it an antihistamine or an antihistamine blocker, but it's interesting how herbs work. Herbs work in such a more general way instead of such a specific, and you get the comfort that you're looking for without such a direct antihistamine effect.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that answers your question well enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other question?
Stevia, as a sweetener.
Stevia is a leaf grown in South American countries, and down there it's known as sweet leaf, and it's very, very sweet when you add it to tea, and here it's normally, in our herbal pharmacy, we stock it as like a dried herb, and it also comes in a white extract powder, which is very popular. It's even more strong and more sweet than just the herb itself, and it thoroughly dissolves in any liquid, and you can cook with it, which
really?
Is very attractive,
mm-hmm.
and I really enjoy it quite a lot in my kitchen.
And we were talking off the air about, because you've given us this stress tea. And tell us about this, because it is something else. It's when you smell it, it's like walking into an incense shop.
Right.
It is a very, very, very strong,
potent,
strong mm-hmm. tea. Tell us about this.
Okay.
One.
Also from South America, just like the stevia, this one is called catuaba, mm-hmm. and has a very unusual taste, and it is by far, I think, the best little stress buster.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a very well-known herb. There isn't a lot written about it, but it's obviously very famous in South America. And when I drink it, I really feel more calm. It's a very noticeable
effect. I'm drinking it right now, and honestly, you can mm-hmm. almost feel it going through your veins here. You can really, there is a real sensation to it that is very calming.
Right. They have done a lot of studies in South America about catuaba, and again, not my opinion, but the studies have shown that it is good for muscle relaxation,
mm-hmm.
yet it does not relax the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Like I brought a little sleep tea, a little package of that in, and these herbs are very familiar to us, melissa, catnip, those kinds of herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, when you read about these herbs, they are famous for relaxing the nervous system. Now that's
wow.
very good, very great effect, very useful for us, but the catuaba is so different in that it produces a calming effect, yet it does not relax the nervous system, but it's really great. My husband gets lower back pain, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes there's spasms,
mm-hmm.
and this is just the first thing that we reach for when we need to, you know, deal with the muscle spasms and that sort of thing.
And Linda, we were talking about the intensity of the colors.
Right, right. I was making observations that when I drink a lot of tea in my home also, but they're purchased from over the counter, and no matter what the flavor is, the tea always look the same,
mm-hmm.
and so we have two different teas here that are distinctly mm-hmm. colorfully different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they smell different, they taste different, look different.
And there's a richness to the color of it,
right.
And particularly this catuaba?
Catuaba.
Catuaba.
Yes.
Catuaba. It's almost, it looks a little viscous. It looks
mm-hmm.
a little thick.
Yeah.
And it is, I'm telling you, this is some amazing stuff. This really, really is. And you can sweeten it if you want.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Drink it how you wish.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about this whole herbalism is that it's ancient. Mm-hmm. It's been with us for, mm-hmm. before structured medicine came to be. And in the old days, we would call it, old folk medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so wonderful when you are studying herbology and when you go out and how even nature, it puts plants that do things that are either contradictory to each other. Let's say if you get a bee sting, there's a plant to deal with that, and then there's something else to counteract something else. I mean, the plants are grown in nature, where they used to be at least, where if there's a snake bite, there's something to do the healing with. There's always been some things, and I grew up in the country, so anybody who grew up in the country knew that's all we did. My grandmother didn't go to the doctor or take us to the doctor. They say, girl, go out in the woods and get this and get that. And I'm telling you, and we never had colds and we were never sick.
They boost your immune system.
Yeah. I love this. I absolutely love these classes that you offer at Cheryl's Herbs. And I think that's really kind of a great introduction into people to get to make this a habit. I love, again, the plants of the Bible one, I think is just going to mm-hmm. really, really, really be compelling for a lot of people. And that's in April.
Yes.
That's in April. And it kind of tells which plants grew, because you were just talking mm-hmm. about what plants are out there, and this is mm-hmm. that's what this seminar teaches, or this workshop teaches.
Right, really, what plants grew in the biblical lands during biblical times. Right.
And if people want to find out about these seminars, aromatherapy and depression, the story of tea, aromatherapy, blending workshop, phone number?
314-645-2165.
Very good. And we've got a full board here. Let me get to some of our questions. Lois, you have a question for our guest.
Oh, yes. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
I have two questions, actually. If a person is on a lot of other medication, should they be interested in, should they take these herbal tea? And the second one is it very expensive? And I'm interested in the stress. Because
you're not alone. You're not alone. All right. Thanks for your question.
Could you spell that name of that stress tea and how much it would cost?
Excellent. Thanks for your question.
Okay, great questions. Well, there's really a short list that we have as a standard handout at Cheryl's Herbs of all the known drug and herb interactions. Mm-hmm. Luckily, it is a short list, but always use common sense. We certainly are not doctors at Cheryl's Herbs. We cannot give you health advice, but we can arm you with enough knowledge so that you can make an educated decision on your own. And really, some of the biggest, maybe the most common cautions you need to be aware of is there are some herbs that have what is known as a blood thinning effect, so that if you're already on blood thinning medications, then maybe you need to be careful of those.
Mm-hmm.
And some herbs, very few, but some you need to be careful of if you already have high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But really, and pregnancy, of course, there's a lot of herbs that you do not use during pregnancy, and really I've pretty much hit on the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't a lot of cautions, but you do need to be aware of them. And there are so many other herbs that you can choose if you need to avoid one because of your particular health condition. There are so many others that you can use.
Right. And you've delivered to us a number of ways of getting these herbs. We have the oils. We have the teas. And this is the extract?
Yes.
And what's the difference between the oils, the extract, and the extracts?
Well, essential oil is very different in that these are produced by distillation of the plant material.
And
very, very specialized.
And you don't ingest those?
Correct.
Okay.
You do not ingest essential oils. You're very careful when you put them on the skin. They always need to be diluted. And the herbal extracts, I think of them like concentrated teas. Instead
mm-hmm.
of drinking a whole cup of tea, you could take like a dropperful instead.
Okay.
And just to give you an idea about the price, like the sinus tea is $5. Or something, that Catawba tea for our smallest 1 ounce size, I don't have my catalog in front of me, but it's probably about, I would say, $4 for an ounce, and that's going to make 15, 20
wow.
at least cups of tea.
Wow.
And
okay.
then we have bigger sizes that are more economical, but these are some of our smallest sizes.
Very good.
Wow.
And again, you can go down to Cheryl's Herbs, you can call Cheryl's Herbs, get directions to go down there, and you would walk people through this process.
Absolutely. We educate, we help you to have the knowledge you need to make a decision for yourself as to what to take.
Let me get you some more of our callers. AJ.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm enjoying the segment. I'm finding it real informative.
Yes.
I just want to get that number one more time because I really am interested.
Okay. It's 314-645 2165.
2165, and I have one more question.
Quickly, please.
You were saying that the teas you get in the stores or whatever, they were not the best for remedies?
Correct. I think they can be of value, they can be of comfort, but when you have a more serious condition or you have a more acute symptoms and you really want relief as fast as possible, a more medicinally prepared cup of tea, I think, would be your better option.
Thanks for your
call. Thank you very much.
And Mary. Mary.
Yes, I would like to know, she mentioned high blood pressure. Did you have a tea specifically for high blood pressure?
Thanks for your question.
There are many great herbs that, if you read about the documented benefits of these, that they have been very successfully used for high blood pressure. But that's a stubborn condition. You have to be so careful. You have to use common sense. You don't just run to a cup of tea or an herb product and abandon your medicine. You need to work with your doctor and be very, very sensible about what can be a potentially major health problem. So there are things that I would take for me, for myself. I would take a few herbs if I was already on medication and I wanted to get off. I might begin by taking a few of the safer herbs, and I would be very involved with my diet and exercise and do other things.
And my doctor.
Yes. Oh, and definitely you need to work with your doctor on things like this.
Right. And our time is up here.
I know.
Our time is up here. I can't believe this. This has gone so quickly today. Cheryl, can you give your website and your phone number out one more time for folks?
The website is cherylsherbs.com, CHERYLSHERBS.com. And the phone number is 314-645-2165. If you're out of the area, it's 800-231-5971.
And we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but there's also, you can use herbs for cleaning products.
Oh, yes. It's such a great alternative to the cleaning agents for many reasons. It's a great alternative.
We're going to have you back. Thank you so much. And let's wrap it up the way we always do.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. We really appreciate all the information.
My pleasure.
Just want to again thank Support a Child International and Eternity Deli for allowing us this segment and our health tip for the week, as Liz had given us prior. That I will try one new food this week, or one new tea.
Or
one new herb this week.
This is very, very good. Thank you so much.
Great. Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Very, very good. And don't forget about Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid. Wonderful place to go for, what do we call it? We call it vegan cuisine. Mm-hmm. Vegan cuisine at Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid, 454-1851. I'm Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. Stay with us. Thank you again. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is wonderful.
Boom, pack. I want a rimshot. Hey, diggy, diggy, a rimshot. Hey, come on, a rimshot. Hey, diggy, diggy, a rimshot.
Dateline Nairobi. Officials in Kenya say there have been several incidents of elephant attacks against people in that country in recent weeks. There's a severe drought going on there, and the creatures are leaving their normal habitats in parks and reserves looking for food. The attacks have taken place against starving people who have been trying to save their own meager crops. UN agencies report the situation in eastern Kenya is particularly critical, and people are dying from the worst lack of rain in over 20 years. The conditions have not caused any such violent behavior in other creatures so far, but African elephants are the largest living land mammals, weighing as much as 7 tons. They have to consume about 5% of their body weight every day and drink as much as 50 gallons of water each day. Not only drought is harming those animals, but also the fact that man has encroached on so much of the elephant's natural territories, destroying or clearing them almost at will. President Mwai Kibaki has already declared the drought a national disaster and says food shortages are going to affect some 2.5 million Kenyans. And Dateline New York. The family of a retired New York City police detective say they are convinced his death was caused from complications due to exposure to toxins from the World Trade Center cleanup. James Zadroga died last week and had put in nearly 500 hours at Ground Zero in the days following the collapse of the towers. He wrote a letter to family members back in 2002 and talked about how his health was deteriorating at that time and he was being plagued by a constant cough and sore throat. Zadroga had to retire in 2004 and only received 3/4 of his regular pay. His disability was listed as pulmonary disease. His parents say he left behind $50,000 worth of medical bills and that the city or the police department never officially stated to them that their son's sickness was linked to Ground Zero. He was inside No. 7 World Trade Center as it started to collapse. He went back to the site for several weeks to help search for other victims. James Zadroga died at the age of 34. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Every weekend, your gospel voice of choice can be found on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Use your exercise bike for more than a clothes rack. Find out how by attending the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair, 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., Friday and Saturday, January 20th and 21st, and from noon to 6, Sunday, January 22nd, at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. More than just another health fair, it's a showcase for retailers, service groups, healthcare professionals, and fitness pros, all ready to help you get in shape and improve your life. Night Magic Entertainment brings you music all weekend long. WGNU will be broadcasting from the fair on Friday. See a variety of singers, dancers, aerobic demonstrations. Enjoy a healthy snack. Stop by the center court to register for one of dozens of great prizes. Come on, you can do it. Get moving to the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored in part by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. Get more details at sbcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional contest production.
Hi, I'm Susan Smith Harmon. Join me every Friday at noon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Our next Mondays at 9 segment is a gut-wrenching account of racial injustice during World War II. During European operations, 70 soldiers were executed for capital crimes, and 55 of those 70 were black. Author Alice Kaplan has crafted a book called The Interpreter, based on notes from a French writer who served as an interpreter for the Army during 5 of those courts-martial. It's a deeply moving portrayal of how the blacks were legally lynched in France, but how one white man called a hero got away with cold-blooded murder. Author Alice Kaplan and The Interpreter, the topic for discussion on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Around the world, behind the story, it's the award-winning wake-up call, Liz Brown.
Welcome back. That was such a fun, Healthy Futures. Man, that stress tea has got a nice kick to it. That is really, really, really nice. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We're going to have Cheryl back. There. We're going to have her back. And the number here is 454-0400. This is the Because We Care package time. Because We Care package time. I have a wonderful, wonderful book. Two copies of the same book. It's perfect. A segue. Natural Cures for Health Disasters by Dr. Case Ingram. He was on our show last year, near the end of last year. We have these wonderful Because We Care packages with your WGNU water bottle, with your wake-up call cup, with your T-shirt, with your keychains, with your wake-up call magnets, WGNU keychain. And also some other goodies. It's the wake-up call Because We Care package. And all you have to do is answer some questions about the shows that we did this week to get a copy of. This is a book that everybody needs in their library. Natural Cures for Health Disasters. All kinds of wonderful things in here that you can address naturally with your needs. I mean, this is a wonderful, wonderful handbook to have in your medicine cabinet, in your house. So, in order to get one of these Because We Care package, I need you to answer some questions about. Pick two guests. We have the one guest that we had, Vanessa Williams. Vanessa Williams was on. She is the director of the Black Conference of Mayors. And she was talking about New Orleans. And I have some questions for you. If you've heard that show, to give me a call. And if you heard the show on Medicare, the new Medicare prescription drug show that we had on earlier this week. I have some questions about that show as well. So if you're interested in one of these wonderful Because We Care packages, and the gift and the book this time is Natural Cures for Health Disasters, written by Dr. Case Ingram. Our number here is 454-0400. The long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. The email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. Give us a call to get one of our wake up call Because We Care package. And if you've won a package within the last 6 months, give somebody else a chance. Lois, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Okay, I listened to the show with our guest Vanessa Williams.
Yes, I did a little bit. She was talking about the situation down in New Orleans, about the possible not reconstruction of the Ninth Ward.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask my question.
Oh, okay.
Let me ask my question. My question is, Lois, what did she say about what the black mayors were facing in New Orleans as they attempted to get their money to reconstruct their cities? Do you remember what she said?
Well, they're definitely having problems getting the funding.
What were some of the specific challenges that they were facing when they went to talk to the parish presidents? Do you remember?
Oh.
No?
No.
Let me get to another caller here.
Okay.
Thanks, Lois. Diane.
Yes.
Diane, did you hear the interview?
I did, but I don't remember that. Isn't she the lady that was talking about the lady that lost her children because she put them in a box?
Yes, that is who she was. But I wanted to know about what the black mayors were facing when they tried to get their money and getting it through the parish presidents.
I don't remember.
But you heard the other part of the story.
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. I will be back same time, same place next week. We'll try to give away some of our Because We Care packages as well next week. My name is Liz Brown. Until next week, stay strong.
All over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? Revolution! Revolution!
other thing that Congress has made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Steve Taylor. The government said this morning that wholesale prices jumped 0.9% last month, the biggest increase since September. The jump was due largely to gasoline prices. Economic analyst Hugh Johnson says this will ripple.
If they're paying higher bills at the pump, that they're going to try to save elsewhere, so it probably